Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm the most retweetable host in WTW history. And Mo.
Oh, I was thinking or Mo.
Could be. So let's get to the big news of the week, which is the three major television shows. Well, two of them are certainly more significant than one other, if you ask me. But let's open with...
Nobody did.
Nobody did what?
Asked you. Nobody asked you.
I asked me.
Mm.
Yeah. Let's open up with Raw.
Okay. Monday Night Raw. I tweeted, I remember texting you and saying, you know, around, right after it happened, that I'm not sure how I felt about Raw.
Well, you were telling me pretty much texting me the whole show because I watched it later. You're texting me pretty much the whole show going, I'm pissed off right now. I have zero interest in SummerSlam. I don't know. You know, this is stupid. I was like, what's going to make me not want to watch Raw? How about The Miz defending against John Cena at SummerSlam? That was my suggestion. And you're like, no, think the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to really wonder. And then at the end, you kind of went, you know what? They blew through that quickly, but they can save it.
They can save it. Essentially what happened is, I mean, Raw was a hot shot show.
Absolutely.
And that's what I said. That's where I wasn't sure where I, why, what I felt about it. Because I liked it on its own, as a standalone program. Mm-hmm. I thought, it was great. I mean, you had two great matches, and the finishing angle. Rey Mysterio had a hell of a night.
Rey Mysterio was awesome.
And he had the return of Jim Ross, the commentary, and...
pretty much as a standalone two-hour block of entertainment, it was as good as any Raw has been, I thought, in a long time. The question is less about how the quality of that particular show, and more about whether or not the booking decisions they make coming into it and going out of it are going to cause... long-term...
short-term gain, long-term pain.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's kind of the issue here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's just it. I mean, if we want to run down, I mean, there was a great match opening the show with Rey Mysterio and Miz.
My favorite match of the night.
Mine as well. I thought it was just unbelievable.
They have tremendous chemistry. That's two matches I've seen them have together.
I've seen three, I think. They've all been, really good. But you had... and then they had the champagne celebration.
Yes.
With... remember when Hulk Hogan won the title and Andre the Giant dumped champagne on him? There were other people there. I think Chico Santana was there. Pedro Morales, you know, another former champion. I think he was a Triple Crown champion there. And Rey Mysterio won the title. And fucking Derek Bateman and Titus O'Neil.
I couldn't recognize half of them,
NXT
honestly.
Jobbers.
I recognized
part of
the rest of the background.
Yeah, and fucking Thailand Chris Masters. It's like, it just read like a who's who of Jobberville. We're out there to show Ray their support. Well, la-dee fucking da.
Yeah.
You know. And then...
It wasn't about those ham and eggers, really. It was about Ray's performance sitting there going... you know what? This makes all the years, all the time I've spent on the road worth it. This time I'm coming home. Daddy's coming home and he's bringing the gold. And he said it with conviction and he's happy.
Mm-hmm.
His performance, even in that little moment, was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was his overall, it was his night. Really.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what happened after that? I don't remember. Hunter come out then?
Hunter came out, you know, and announced Jim Ross, teasing that it was CM Punk.
Well, he had said that another...
Well, that's actually kind of funny. At the very beginning, you remember, he came out and said, I just want to say, you know, I have this job, and none of us would be here if it wasn't for Vince. And then he paused, waiting for the thing.
Waiting for the pop, and nothing.
Nothing. And then he held up the microphone, going, come on, guys. Nothing.
No.
Nobody... Vince, they're never going to cheer for you.
Well, it's not that.
When you die, they will.
Well, it's not...
But they don't trust that you're not going to come back as a heel. They don't trust the angle yet.
Well, I know that even he's going to come back as a heel. It's just that he's going to come back at all.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That it's this, you know, big deal. We'll figure it out later when Vince takes his company back and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I mean, so, yeah, but nobody gives a fuck, right?
No.
And then what did that bring? Did that bring R-Truth out?
R-Truth came out after, actually. He said that he was going to announce Jim Ross. I thought Michael Cole... what he said was scathing
mm-hmm.
Towards Jim Ross, but his performance and delivery, again, was really great.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, no, it was a good.
Everybody performed really, really highly.
They
did. In fact, I think the guy who had the biggest off night was Hunter. I thought he seemed a little uncomfortable in that role.
Well, you say that, but I think I texted you, you know, afterwards, and we were talking about Hunter and Punk, and I said, well, yeah, but only one of those, or Hunter and Christian, which we'll get to in terms of the SmackDown, and I said, yeah, but only one of those is only good to be a comedy character. And I ain't talking about Christian.
No.
Because when R-Truth and Hunter were out there, fuck, I was laughing. I thought it was hilarious.
Did you? I didn't
thought
like
that was hilarious. It drew absolutely no money, and it was counterproductive for everything they want to do, but it was fucking hilarious.
I didn't think so. Now, I did think to myself, okay, Hunter has better comedic delivery and timing than John Cena, but it still felt the same thing to me. A writer writing stuff that's funny, and you're pandering to the crowd.
Yeah,
it was
but it was
really,
funny.
I didn't think it was that funny for that reason. I thought it was forced, and I just...
I didn't analyze it. It was just funny.
To me, it didn't make me laugh.
No, the way I analyzed it afterwards, it was funny, and... But then you got into, you know, Hunter uncomfortable in his character. Hunter does great when he's talking to R-Truth and he's having that funny ha-ha go back and forth. But then when it comes time for him to be this serious boss, he fucking fails.
Well, and that's the thing. Even moments before the show went on air, he was going to be a heel, right?
Making fun of Michael Cole.
Yeah.
Was good. He seemed comfortable there doing that. But then when it came to, again...
Well, to me, even when he sits there at the beginning and goes, oh, this is fun. You know, even that pandering, and it's like, no, it isn't. It's not who his character has ever really been. I mean, it's just strange to me. I mean, this is the guy who the jean jacket, the long hair, the jean pants. You know, jeans. The guy who
sometimes
the look he had when he came back from in Madison Square Garden from the first quad injury. You know, that look.
Quadruple
really,
H.
It's really difficult for me to look at this guy in a suit and still go corporate. Because they haven't, it seems behind the scenes, but it hasn't really been in front that they pushed it. So the morph of the character to me
has really Evolution?
Occurred. Evolution,
did that pass you by?
You know what, when I think of Hunter, I don't think of that era.
Oh, it's see, not, I think that era defines Hunter.
Seriously?
I think it does, yeah. The fact that he's in charge of the company, like he's the lead character of that company for that era, for that probably 4-year era, and it went to shit. That defines Hunter to me. It really it does, seriously.
Well, as the downward trend began when he was on top.
Yeah.
No question about that.
And that's what defines Triple H to me.
Okay. I think a lot of people though, when they think of Triple H, still think of more of the Madison Square Gardens or the DX character, right? I don't think they.
Well, now
but,
more
know,
in the
okay.
DX.
I just you can morph it there. It's just not there yet for me. But here's my other thing. I mean, he came out and he said, you know, I've talked to both men and both men agree it must happen. We must have this match. And he announces Ray and
Cena, right?
Again, do they? What's wrong with waiting one more week? But I guess they want to get that belt back on Cena right away.
Well, and in hindsight, when you step back and you say why, because there's only 2 weeks until the SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And you need to, and they don't want to have a 1 week build to their main event of champion versus champion, right?
No.
So that's the reason. But that's what I was starting to get pissed off at is when you're. You know, I'm going, oh, shit, and I'm thinking, okay, well, Cena's winning the belt now, which he did, but I'm going, oh, fuck, Cena's winning this title, and here we go. Like, it's back, we're back to square fucking one.
Well, it's the same thing. It's like,
he's not fired, and now he's the champion.
Yeah, I mean, he's back on top again, right? He's the focus of the company. The focus of the company, CM Punk is not number one, even if he's back. He's not going to be number one. It's going to be Hunter and the family, and it's going to be Cena, and, you know.
Him.
And it's the same as we have seen for many, many years. And that is the worry. Now, Punk, though, has done a good job of kind of poking through the obstacles put in front of him up to this point in his career in the WWE. Because, honestly, he should have been fired after 2 months, you know, if you really look back on it, right? So, you know, and he's come this far. So maybe he will manage to make himself the focus still. Because he is the best performer on the roster.
Well, he is. And, I mean, just as Jericho was able to make himself the focus, right, as opposed to Cena. But at the same time, it's just, you know, I don't know, like, this angle is all about Hunter.
Yeah.
And it's not about Punk. Now,
well,
we're gonna see tomorrow, Punk gets a promo on Raw.
Yes.
And so it very much is going to depend on what he has to say there. Because, I mean, we're clearly going to Cena versus Punk, champion versus champion,
absolutely,
unification, blah, blah, blah match, right?
Well, let's talk about a couple of things. What do you think of Punk being gone from television for only 8 days?
Yeah. Well, I said it last show, is I want to see, I would have preferred Night of Champions because he's a champion return.
Sure.
Okay, and that, but, clearly it's too soon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that anybody, you know, I've heard Punk on Bill Simmons say, you know, well, so did I come back too soon? Well, maybe you need to wait and see how this plays out. Well,
yeah.
And he is very much right in the fact that, you know, it could very well be a year from now, 2 years from now. If he, you know, it's not going to matter, right? I mean, it is just one thing. This isn't going to. It's 2 years from now.
He could lose to Cena and take the 4 months off then. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah, but
know.
That'd be stupid.
I agree, but we don't know, as I'm saying.
Well, no, we don't know, but he's saying, did we come back too soon? He's wanting for it to all shake out. And I'm going with both yay and nay. You're right. I mean, he could go back and they could blow it, and it won't have mattered how much time he took off. It was just absolute shit.
Well, no,
or,
said he was too hot to avoid SummerSlam.
Or,
I do kind of think that's what happened here. I mean,
yeah.
I said that to you before. I mean, he says that he decided the night in Chicago with that reaction that he didn't want to leave. That's what he said on Bill Simmons.
Yeah, that is.
You know what? I kind of suspect that.
Bullshit.
I think he was planning
Bullshit.
To leave. I do think he was planning to leave. He got too hot. His name became too well searched on trending accounts such as Google and Twitter and that type of thing.
I don't think that matters.
He was offered too much money to sign.
That matters.
Yeah.
That matters. And he got his song.
He got
you know
his
that
song.
We opened the show with.
Yeah.
So
I still own the
clearly
CD.
He had.
I never got rid of that CD.
No. The fact he had it to begin with. The fact though that he got some bargaining power to be able to do that is a plus. And as I said, it is something that gives a little bit of hope. But again, it to me now when we talk about the faith in the company, and here we are lessening.
Lessening even more when I heard the reports that about the script changes and the direction of the company was going to go into right before they went on air.
The first four drafts of this script had
six drafts in total.
Six drafts in total, but the first four ended Raw with Hunter pedigreeing Punk and Alberto Del Rio coming out cashing in the Money in the Bank, leading to Alberto and Cena, as was the plan all along.
Mm-hmm.
Champion versus champion now at...
And the heel authority figure against the babyface Punk, again, for a billion
times. Yeah, take 7 million, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
And you know what, that's we talk about how the company's been going better and we had a little bit of faith in the company. When I hear this, it means that they don't have a long-term plan. I don't trust them when they're hot-shotting.
Well, they're booking on the fly.
I don't trust them then.
And I don't either. And that's the problem, is that there isn't a plan right now.
No.
And it seemed like they had a plan, you know, when they did the contract signing.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like they had a plan. And they did. It was just they had a plan to Money in the Bank the
yeah.
next week, six
yeah.
days later, and that's it.
Yeah.
And now they don't seem to have any clue.
They don't have any clue, and it really is. It's amazing that means to me that they're not sure how to capitalize on this. When how to capitalize on it is really, really simple. Now, all this said, the moment the Punk stepped out and that music played and the expression, like he walks in a way that it's like it's a heel walk because it's that confident, cocky walk.
Right.
But he pulls it off in a way that you can't help but like him. And he comes to the ring, he holds the belt up, and then you know, Cena holds.
Well, he got the bigger reaction.
He got the bigger reaction. Absolutely, he's seen by the fans as the true champion in their eyes, right?
Well, he is.
He is, yeah. Even Cena against Ray was, Ray was getting had the crowd on his side. I think Ray's going to come out of this a bigger babyface than ever because it was really hard to not feel sorry for him. You know.
Well, that's true, and. He's got, I mean, they're going into Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got to have a big match.
Big match, and I think there's going to be that groundswell of support for his character coming up soon. if they know how to capitalize on it.
Well, so they won't.
They won't.
So the thing is when you look at, as I said, Raw as a whole was a great show. We talk about, you know, the return of Jim Ross, which,
yeah,
you know, is nothing but positive. I shouldn't say nothing but positive.
Well, he elevated that main event.
His, yes, but you have to remember that it was JR and the King calling that main event.
Yes.
Come Monday, come tomorrow, what you're going to have is that three-man booth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're going to have just Mr. Needlefuck Michael Cole with Vince telling him what to say, just bitching at Jim Raw. How's the Chipotle ketchup going? How's the barbecue?
Even,
blah,
I knew we were in trouble.
Right?
Very early on, Jim Raw said something like something along the lines of he's squealing more than a pig stuck underneath the gate. And I thought, that's it. That's what Vince McMahon fears. It's that type of line.
Yeah,
you know?
But I think at that point, Jim Ross is going, well, you fucking brought me back now for the 10th time.
Yeah, exactly.
So why did you need me to come back?
Yeah.
Why did you need me to come back? So I'll have him running like a scalded dog and whipped like a government mule every fucking day of my life because you brought me back.
And the fans love me, and the fans will always love me.
Well, and he's, I mean, talking about Punk, Jim Ross is the best in the world at what he does, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so, and deep down, Vince, or Hunter, or whoever's actually making that call, knows that.
Oh, they do. Vince knows it. Vince just doesn't like it.
No, you don't have to
and
like
they
it.
Always talk about, they always talk about the presentation of younger announcers. Let's talk about that for a second. Pat Summerall and John Madden were the announcers on CBS and Fox Sports for football. They're calling the Super Bowl most watched television event in history. Summerall was like in his early 70s or late 60s, and Madden was in his mid 60s, and Summerall looked old.
He actually had
been 10 years before removed from being at his best, and nobody cared. It didn't affect viewership, didn't affect sponsorship, didn't affect anything. It's absolutely insane.
Well, it is, and I don't know that anybody disagrees with that outside of Vince McMahon and maybe Kevin Dunn.
Kevin Dunn,
but,
yeah.
But, you know.
Two very high-level douches.
Yeah, and Kevin Dunn doesn't like, you know, thinks that his announcers should look good. Fucking chipmunk, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So, fuck.
Exactly. Oh, no, how about this? We're going to bring in Mike Goldberg. They tried to bring him in, what, about 5 years ago
here
from New York.
Here we go. Yeah.
And they wanted to change the name Goldberg because Vince McMahon hates that name because he hated Bill Goldberg. Like, it's, again, it's your petty.
I don't know that he hated the name. I think it was just that he hated
Bill.
No, it wasn't that he hated Bill. It's the same way that, you know, Sugar Shane Helms had to become Gregory Helms because he could only have one Shane. Well,
it was a shot. It's a personal
Goldberg.
Shot. It's also a personal shot at Goldberg. Yeah.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so.
It is.
No,
it whatever.
Is. No, because you don't fucking think Vince McMahon would rather have people chanting Goldberg at Mike Goldberg to take
well,
that fucking chant away?
He knows that.
When he comes
it
out?
It doesn't matter.
It
no,
really
not.
It doesn't matter.
No,
it's just
not.
The fact that you're wrong. That's all.
No, I'm not.
You sure you are.
And here's the other thing. It doesn't. The point
Who
is.
Who gives
that his
a fuck? Why are we even talking about this?
Well, just because his own. Because, it, again, if you let me fucking finish a thought.
Nah.
Jesus Christ.
I'm surprised you had one.
Because he's trying to, again, it's the regular Vince McMahon pettiness.
Oh, yeah.
And his own bubble that we talk about, and Dunn is in this. And you talk about the kiss ass, the John Laurinaitis kiss ass that Punk brought up. All of this that affects his skewed view of the world. And affects his ability to push this business forward in 2011.
Well, thank God you got to finish that thought.
Uncomfortable pause, folks. Adam, do you have anything to say, douchebag?
Yeah, you're wrong. But no, all it is what were we even talking about? Why are we even talking about this? All
we're
it is
about
that
JR.
Yeah,
we're
I was
going
to say, let's get back
to
the important thing here. Is that the fact is that JR is back, as I said, for the 15 millionth time. I think he just knows now. Again, and this was one when he got taken off before, and people had pushed for him. Shawn Michaels had pushed for him to be his final match. You know,
well,
and
before
and
he being brought back because Austin and The Rock pushed for him to call their matches a main.
Mm.
Right?
But that was when he got the Bell's palsy. That's when, that was WrestleMania 15, you know, and WrestleMania 17 and all
well,
this.
He has
but when you're talking about
in 2009, right? And you're talking about 2010, 2011. 2009 is
well,
when
his
last
attack, though. I mean, but you got to look, is when he had his last attack, though, he had already been relegated to the color commentating analyst position with Todd Grisham on SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
And so when he got taken off, and well, you're right, before in the past, people had asked for him to come back. Steve Austin said, bring him back, and he had.
Yep.
Now, Shawn Michaels says, I want Jim Ross to call my final match. Both of them. And Vince still said no.
Yeah.
So to me, that I thought, okay, well, he's never coming back then. Like, I was kind of the, you know, he did the old school, but I mean, it was old school, right? So you bring back the old school, and so it's fine. I just figured he was that. He would have been, as I said before, a guy that would have made, you know, when we talk about a list of short list guys that could have been the general manager, he would have made a great, you know, like a commissioner type role to me, where he could just be on TV every once in a while, sit in the
Jack Tunney role,
position,
yeah.
Right? But the fact that he's back now, I mean, for how long, who knows? But for right now, the product is going to sound better.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. He is better at his job than anybody else in the business. Unfortunately, he's with, you know, he and Lawler have great chemistry, but I think Lawler hasn't been good since Puppies. Honestly, I as a color commentator, I'm not a big fan. So
I don't know that I've ever really liked Lawler, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've... To me, back in when he first came in like 93, he always just, to me, seemed like a sort of a poor man's Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
And I mean, I knew of Jerry Lawler because of a lawsuit reading in the After Mags and such, but I never really saw Jerry Lawler, the serious babyface. This was just, you know, oh, yeah, Jerry Lawler, I heard of him. Oh, he's in WWF now? Okay, cool. And then I saw him, he was just, yeah, I mean,
well,
he never...
Well, when Heyman replaced him, Heyman was better.
I thought Heyman was better, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
Heyman was better. So, yeah, I mean, it, you know... Whatever though, I mean that's I'll take Lawler and Ross and happily take it. And unfortunately, if Cole is there,
you're gonna have Cole.
We'll kind of see how that plays out. But I mean, he has Cole. They're walking that fine line between heat that people want to see him get beat up by Lawler and heat that is go away heat.
I don't think they are anymore.
They're probably not anymore.
I think they've Impact there. They've crossed the line. And they've gone straight over to fuck you, Heat, and just get off my TV, click, you suck.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And I mean, it's just one of those things now that they're going to put him in there and they're going to do it. But I'm glad he's back. As you said, the product is definitely going to sound better now that he's
back.
And
it will be temporary.
So,
we all know that. Whatever.
Lost in the shuffle of all this, John Morrison.
Yeah.
And that's where to me is actually really where it truly became a hot shot show. Is when they brought back John Morrison. And even the wording. I mean, Hunter, again, this is not him being very comfortable in the role, going, well, I rehired somebody else, too.
Yeah,
like,
somebody who
what?
Wasn't fired.
Thought he was just fucking hurt. Like,
yeah.
What the hell are you talking about? And yeah. Then and out comes...
Well, they wanted to push Hunter as the fans commissioner now. The fans, owner
that's
and CEO.
Fine.
And they were trying to
they
make
should.
A big splash.
Yeah, that's fine, and they should, but it's just, again, it won too many.
Yeah,
maybe too many, but the other ones, I mean, at least, okay, you bring Jim Ross back because fucking Jim Ross.
Yeah.
And that's a no-brainer to me. You bring back, you do the two title changes, okay, well, there's at least a story reason for that.
Yeah.
Because of what you're trying to get to with the SummerSlam, right? And then
SummerFest.
And you bring Punk back because you need to have that 2 weeks of build to do it.
Yeah.
Whether, again, agree with it, disagree with it, that's what they're doing, so that's why they did it. So, much like when we talked about Chavo Guerrero, just explain your reason, whether I agree or not, at least you have a reason for doing it. With John Morrison, there doesn't seem to be much of a reason that you couldn't have done that, tomorrow, like this coming Raw.
Oh, absolutely could have.
You know, because
it would have been bigger. It would have been bigger because one more thing, right?
It should be bigger because, as I said, lost in the shuffle here. And then he goes over to SmackDown.
And he loses, but he loses in a tremendous match with the world champion.
Right.
Right?
Truth won.
Truth won.
By DQ.
Technically by DQ, but he basically got the hell beat out.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where you're, RKO'd on the table, three times? The table didn't break, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That means maybe that's Orton's new gimmick, but almost to the point where you're going, he's going to be too hurt to compete at SummerSlam. Though that's an obvious match is Truth versus Truth versus
Morrison
at SummerSlam.
I would think so, yeah. I would think so. I think that, I mean, what else do you do at the SummerSlam? I mean, you got the champion versus champion. You got that. You got Orton, and we'll get to Orton Christian, no holds barred.
No holds barred, yeah. No DQ.
I mean, it seems like you could do a Sheamus Daniel Bryan.
It's too bad that they're having a no holds barred, because I was hoping they'd have a street fight.
Really?
Yeah.
I was hoping that they would do, they still have time to extend upon this. If they do with, what's the name of Randy Orton's movie that he was in there?
Who Am I, or what, something fucking, I don't know.
What I Am, or,
what I am.
Or
yeah,
something.
What I am.
Anyway, so I think you could do that, because it's going to be a match. So you do No Holds Barred the match, the movie.
Huh.
And then you just show Randy Orton's movie on right after.
Huh, well.
That would make sense.
Apparently it's a movie worth seeing, which is a first for the WWE.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. But anyway,
yeah, where are we?
I think that with the Summerfest, I just think you've got Truth and John Morrison. And John Morrison, if he'd come back tomorrow on this coming Raw, I think you still have enough time to build the SummerSlam. If that's
I
would assume that's
icing,
where they're going,
right?
It's
not the main meal. It's a dessert match. It's a match where people go, oh, you know what, they got an issue, and hopefully they'll have a good match.
Got an issue? Here's a tissue.
Yeah, exactly. It's nothing. It's not selling guys.
No, it's not. But it's not detracting.
It's
just
a good
solid
exactly.
undercard.
Exactly.
But again, it's something that could,
it doesn't need 3-4 weeks.
It could rekindle itself next week versus last week.
Yeah,
and I just
matter.
Think, it, and right now it doesn't really matter. Is the thing. So. All right, is that everything that happened on Raw?
I think on Raw we did get...
we talk about Punk,
Cole,
really?
Cole. We talked... Well, no, we haven't really talked about Punk, but I think we'll get there. But Cole obviously having a match in Hunter's...
Woo-woo-woo!
A lot of people are going, oh, he didn't get a crowd reaction. You know, he's not that over, he didn't get a crowd reaction. Let me tell you something. How many times has he been on TV this year?
Michael
Pryor.
Cole?
No. Zack Ryder.
Oh, you know it, bro. This was that his third Raw match?
That was his third Raw match. How many times previously has he gotten a ring entrance?
Two. I think that was his second ring entrance.
No, that was his first ring entrance. That's the first time
he was the number one contender, though, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually the before this year.
Oh, was that in 2010?
Yeah, before this calendar year. This year he's only had, this is the first time his music played. So when his music plays, and it's shitty music, so it suits his character, but when his music plays and it doesn't get a big pop because nobody knows it because they haven't heard it on television, don't blame him for that. It's not even, I don't even think he's using that on his YouTube videos. I think it's that take care, spike your hair shit, which is great, by the way. But, as I call it.
Great shit, yeah.
Great shit. But you know what? He didn't get the reaction because people didn't know who he was. Once
is anybody fixating on
that? There has been a lot of people saying, oh, he didn't get the big reaction.
Well, he didn't get a big reaction
but that's
immediately.
Just
they
don't know the music.
That's fine.
Exactly. Once
okay.
they started to realize who it was, it got better.
Well, I don't even know it was once they realized who it was. It was when he got in the ring and they started. What it is it's what you talked about before, is it's similar to the sheep. Exactly. Yeah. There was Let's Go Rider, started by some vocal minorities, and people picked it up.
Yep.
Right? And that's what it was. I mean, now the match was 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So it was very hard to, you know, the match started, he did his one move, threw Michael Cole down, went woo, 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 and pumped his fist with it.
Yeah.
And then he was, as he was getting ready for the Rough Rider, he put, that's when the Let's Go Rider chant started, but then just as quickly as they started, it was 1, 2, 3, it was over.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but after the match, because he used the Rough Rider as the finisher, did afterwards he get disqualified because there were too many men in the ring?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
No.
Just
no.
checking. There's no 13 men in the ring?
No.
Okay.
There was not.
Just
there was
checking.
Not.
That's okay.
CFL fans will find that funny.
Yes, that's about it. But anyway.
Shit.
So that was the return of Zack Ryder.
Let's talk about Punk. What do you have to say? We talked about whether or not he returned too early, but what do you talk about the actual moment, the music?
Well, the moment, the return itself was great, And Punk, also what he said about...
Again, I didn't expect it.
One of the things he talked about on the Bill Simmons show is that he was a big proponent of, he said, you know, he doesn't sweat the small stuff, but when there's a big change in a character, mm-hmm. when a character undergoes a big change, he thinks that you need to have just drastically, like, new gear, new look, new music.
I talked about this when we're talking about Sheamus being a face.
Right.
Oh, I just need something, right? It doesn't have to be much, but there has to be something, right?
Well, he's not talking about the act of turning. He's just saying when there's any kind of change in the
character.
When you think a major change in the character, you should then change the look, the music, the presentation
of
that
character. But a character like Sheamus being a heel and a bully for so long, now being a good guy, smiling baby face is a major change in the character. So there should be something. That's just my point. But I agree with him. He's right.
Yeah.
He's right, you know.
And
it's the same thing like Chris Jericho when he got rid of the long trunks and went to the small trunks. He started wearing the suit.
He got rid of the tights, went to the trunks. And
yeah, I always said he needed to get rid of that music. I always said that
mm-hmm.
music
yeah,
didn't work for that
that's
character.
That's right, you're right, yeah. And he wore the suit and the tie and got there and cut, you know. But, I mean, exactly. And that's part of it, right? And that's where, I mean, when Cult of Personality come on, I honestly I didn't know who it was.
No, I didn't at first either.
I thought, who's this Foley? What's going on here?
Yeah,
like, it had my attention as to.
Actually, it's my first.
Do I have your attention now?
Steve Austin, because they had that video where they used his Hall of Fame video. I think
it was. It was, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they used
yeah.
that song. So that
yeah.
was actually my first thought.
Yeah.
Like that made sense to me.
Yeah, and I thought, okay, well, then Punk comes out. Punk comes out. He's got the white shirt now.
Yes.
Which is great.
Yeah, and he's going to sell a shitload.
And apparently at the house shows, most shirts are $20.
Yeah.
The Punk shirt is $25.
Yeah.
And it still sells out the fastest.
Oh, absolutely it would.
So anyway, they've got the new look, the new Titantron to match the not only the song, but... The new shirt.
Yeah, exactly. It's a cross between the images from the original video by Living Color. Living Color. They show things like John F. Kennedy and Fidel Castro and all these leaders and such, and then crossed in with Punk and his his gimmick really. So
his gimmick and his new white.
His image
shirt, and
his moves, his stuff.
Best in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Is of course his catchphrase, right?
Yeah, so, and Kurt Angle, but we'll get there.
Well, yes, but anyway, so Punk's got that. He comes out. Cena raises his belt. Got a reaction.
Sure.
Got a reaction.
Yeah, 50-50 reaction.
Punk gave his belt. You're looking at 80-20 reaction.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Probably more.
And then I don't know if it was more. It was louder than Cena's, but it wasn't. This wasn't a unanimous blow the roof off the place. But it is what it is. So
yeah, like you say, great moment, great image seeing them there doing that. Seeing Punk kind of just subtly, he held the belt up beside his face and kind of stroked it lovingly,
just
it's great. Still hope that he's going to change that ugly belt. Probably not going to happen now. Still hope. The thing is, I think what bothered me about this was as soon as I saw it, I thought, SummerSlam, there will be another match. And this time Cena's going over and that's it. Like, it just feels like that cuts the legs off Punk to me. Because Cena's going over.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
See, now, and that's the thing, is I'm still not convinced either way. This is one of those things that they've got.
Because he's so protected.
Well, yeah, that's fine. But, I mean, they've got to... Hey, this is it, man. They've caught lightning in a bottle here. They either douse it with water, or they harness it.
Yeah.
And SummerSlam again, we keep talking about these stages. The next show is the biggest show. The next Raw is the most important Raw. Well, they're at a week to week point with their storyline where they're going to be able to go one of two ways. You're very well right that SummerSlam could end with Cena winning and Alberto Del Rio cashing in and leaving with the belt.
Could be.
Or Punk winning and Alberto Del Rio cashing in with the belt.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think they want to have Del Rio and Punk work together. I think they want to have Del Rio work with Cena. And
that, yeah, but that's fine.
They're doing a tour, including a Raw from Mexico in October.
In October, yeah.
They do want to have the belt, theoretically, on Del Rio heading into that. That's probably also the reason why Sin Cara will be back.
Well, the thing with that is we talk about what they want. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, how many rewrites are going to be there for right now going on for Raw tomorrow?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
We're talking about October. You really can't.
Yeah.
And with Alberto Del Rio, he won the Royal Rumble. He's going to win the belt at Mania. He's going to win the Money in the Bank. He's going to win the belt at SummerSlam. Here we go. So now we're talking about doing.
Hotshotting still, and they're going to continue to do that.
Well,
and
we don't know. I
have to say this: hotshotting and shows like this. I mean, I remember during the Attitude Era, they would have a show like this where they had this many angles packed in. This is Crash TV, but it was much better paced than Vince Russo by himself doing Crash TV. But Monday was still Crash TV because so many things packed in. But it was well paced Crash TV. Let me just finish my thought. Here's the thing, though. I used to think to myself in that Attitude Era that they were blowing through these angles and these shows too quickly. But there was enough momentum and enough storylines, enough personalities they were able to keep adding on to it, and it didn't feel like it was burned through at the pace that I was worried it would.
Right.
So this might not be either.
Well, you're right. When I talk about the difference between a hotshot show to me and Crash TV is that with Crash TV they were blowing through so much shit. But what it is that it was, they would blow through something big would happen in a Divas thing, then something big would happen in the Austin thing. Now Austin was part of about if there were in how many segments? There's 8 segments of a show. Austin's a part of 5 of them, right? But they would blow through like a Divas segment. They'd have one major storyline throughout the whole show. That would throughout the whole show hotshot one thing or get one thing going.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'd have your Divas hotshot and your Intercontinental title hotshot and your tag team hotshot. And like they'd have, maybe not hotshot's the wrong word, but they would blow through a lot of people's shit in one show. Whereas with this hotshot show, really the main story was championship match to open it, championship match to close it, Punk returns. And then the way you turn it into a hot shot was you threw in that people don't even know, like a John Morrison, and then JR happens to come back as well. It was also part of the whole thing with Hunter, which it all ties in. And again, this to me,
it was reminiscent taste wise.
Oh, it was. Yeah,
stuff happened.
I mentioned it when Vince got fired, is that it reminded me of an Attitude Era show.
Yeah,
and
it did more to me.
It's starting to, but it just...
Let's talk about something that we talked about, Attitude Era. What was it the Punk said he would call this era?
He called it the Reality Era.
What do you think of that?
We called it that. We called it that a month ago.
We said it could be.
Well, that's what I said. And I don't know that he said it is. He said if you
but
want...
There's a lot
if
of reality,
I were to,
and there was a lot of... Like Vince Russo and has been... essentially trying to push a reality era since he got there.
But he was saying, though, that if I had to call it something.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't saying that he is saying, oh, we've got this new era now. He's saying, I want this to be a new era. I want this to be a return. I want wrestling to be cool again.
Yeah.
Is what he's saying. And that's what he wants to do. And he's very passionate about doing it.
Yeah.
And he'll fight, I think, to the death. I think he's at that point now. He's even cockily come out. He's going, I'm at the point now where I can say this, or I can do this, or I can push for this.
Yeah.
And he will.
Yeah.
And it's going to, I think that voice is going to be good. And until they decide that they don't want to listen, I don't know that they will decide that, but if they decide that, then it is going to be very bad. But at the same time, I think he's reached a level that, he can be that pain in the ass. And I don't know if you're not...
The thing is, to them, truthfully, he's always been that pain in the ass. It's just now he's...
Now the ears are open. And I don't know how much of this, and I have no basis for this, again, just I'm speculating here, that to me, though, I mean, it makes perfect sense that when we talk about the new power of Hunter, And now Hunter's being groomed, and Hunter's, you know, not as he's taken over for Vince, but he's learning how to take over for Vince. But he's also got more hands-on power right now. That he's there and he's doing it. And I don't know how much of CM Punk does Hunter kind of look and go, you know, I was like that. That was me at one point. I was that guy.
I think Hunter was always a much better behind-the-scenes politician. He wormed his way into things, whereas Punk is more of a...
No, but he's passionate, and I mean, Hunter was the fall guy for the curtain call,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, and so when you talk with Punk...
Want
and,
me to shoot? I'll fucking shoot.
Yeah. But, I mean, so I don't know how much Hunter can go, you know, I was that hungry guy, and I can appreciate that, and I can see that, and I'm willing to even if I don't agree with it, I'm willing to support the passion.
Well, I think it's even you can see that in Punky. I think you can see that in Ryder.
Ryder, yeah.
Yeah. But again, we'll get there as well. Actually, let's get there.
Let's
right
just now. Go right to SmackDown.
Follow
now.
That.
I mean, I think that's it.
Follow that.
Follow that. Yeah. Well, that was hilarious. I was telling you after talking a couple shows ago, or last show, we talked about the Disney Henson television show Dinosaurs on ABC,
yeah.
and
yeah.
they actually had a steroid episode of Dinosaurs that I went on YouTube, typed in Dinosaurs, a steroid episode where they ate these things that, you know, he made the kid strong or whatever, and the other guy that he was taking them from, his name was Dolph.
Dolph.
And I just thought that was hilarious.
Did he ever say, I will break you?
No, that's what I said, but he never said, follow that.
He should have.
So, he should have. But, I mean, SmackDown, Hunter's
booked gonna be on both shows.
On both shows as his role of the chief operating officer for the next foreseeable future. And, I mean, the other thing that was clearly evident by this is that Hunter ain't the only one. Right? I mean, you come in... You open there, and Christian comes out, and he draws back and forth with Hunter, and then Truth comes out, who's a Raw guy,
mm-hmm.
and draws back and forth. No mention made, just kind of there it is, and
Morrison,
and well, and then yeah,
they
then
did
he
actually make a mention though about Morrison.
Well, then they announced Morrison, and then
they did mention that they brought him over just to.
We did, yeah. But I mean, but he still was over. Yeah, he said
yeah.
he came over with me, is what he said,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But. So then they did that, and so you had Morrison and Truth both on a different show.
Both losing to the top, both contenders in a mid-card feud from Raw, losing to the world title challenger and champion on the SmackDown brand. Great booking. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You put over, I don't care if it's Morrison's first match back, that doesn't matter. You put over the guys who are going to be in the championship match.
You put over your money, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, that was definitely true. And then backstage afterwards, you had Teddy Long and Hunter talking. And see, there Hunter looked very comfortably corporate to me.
Yes, he did.
I thought that was not forced, but he's just going back and saying, you know, thanks for having me, no problem. And he looked like he was talking business, walking down the hallway with the guy, going, okay, what are you doing here? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, it looked sounded good.
Sure.
And then Zack Ryder comes up, wearing his new Broski T-shirt.
Yep.
And take care, spike your hair, yeah. And Hunter made reference. I mean, he seems like you're always bugging me with ideas. You know,
yeah.
All of a sudden he's Stevie Richards.
Yeah.
And he said, and he just left him. I got an idea. Here. Meet your new assistant, Teddy.
Well, that's the thing, actually. I was going to mention this, how we had Ryder on and how he didn't get the reaction that a lot of people were talking about on Raw. And then he got this gig, because I was going to mention that they did the wrong thing. The way you don't put Ryder out in the ring and have him wrestle to get him over, you give this guy a microphone.
Well, that's just it. I mean, Zack Ryder should have the new Piper's Pit.
Absolutely.
You know, just... But anyway, but that said... What did you think of his performance as his assistant?
I'm actually wasn't nearly as high on it as you were. I know you really enjoyed it.
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Here's the you said he was tremendous, and you talked about how much you enjoyed him offering the guy be the Broski of the week.
There were parts that were fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
but
here's my problem with it. I got the feeling watching him the writers didn't know how to maximize him, and even more than that, they didn't know whether they wanted him to be heel or face. I really felt like the character, is not, the character is lovable on YouTube, okay? He's a lovable, likable character. This guy that he was doing on this show, I felt was more of a annoying, grating character.
We got a one, the way I came off with him on for most of his SmackDown, I mean, at the beginning, that's why I said he was tremendous, when he's fist pumping with Teddy and doing the psh, and all that, but, after about his third segment there, he was a one-note joke.
Yeah.
Are you serious, bro?
Yeah.
Come on, woo, 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 and all. You know, like that was it, and it was
the creativity and the funniness and the stuff that he's doing in his own videos is not present in this. It's because they don't know how to. They still feel they need to script it, and they don't know how. And now the character is already subtly changing, just becoming more annoying.
Well, I mean, it's been one. Show.
Do you have faith in them?
No, of course not. But it's just it's one show, and again, it just you know I won't. I'm not going to bury it now. I'm not Daniel Bryan that's going to bury everybody. I'm just going to bury them.
Bury
I'm just going to wait until I'm going to wait and take a wait and see. I mean, when he had that little Bob Howard or whatever the little jobber guy was that was coming out to face Mark Henry.
What killed me was that guy came out okay against Mark Henry. He came out beside Zack Ryder, and they listed him at weighing 185 pounds. The most dangerous man probably on the planet is 185 pounds at Anderson Silva. If this guy's 130 pounds, it would kill me. But I know Vince McMahon's going, nobody will buy it. He's a 130-pound guy. 185 pounds, a small guy. Well, it's not really.
No.
Not in this day and age. But that just proved their mentality to me. But anyways, that's a side note.
But he comes out and he goes to walk away or whatever, not face him. And Ryder comes out and says, you can totally do it, man. Go, go. He goes, I'll make you Broski of the Week.
Yeah.
I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was Ryder.
That was Ryder.
Right?
That was
just Ryder doing Ryder, exactly. not a backstage scripted deal. So, and anyway, then, you know, of course, Henry comes in, kills that guy, bitches about competition. It was and then Teddy had to come down, and then that's when Sheamus comes in.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Sheamus, see, the difference with Sheamus, I mean, it's a shameful thing Dunderhead comes on.
Yeah.
But then when he comes out, he's got a baby face facial look.
He's got a smile.
He's smiling. His eyes are wide. He's going, how are you guys? Like,
yeah,
he's coming, hello, I'm here. How are you? Yeah. I love you people. You know what I mean? Like, he's got that, and he got a pop.
Absolutely.
The music got a pop.
And this is the thing that's kind of bugged me about him in the WWE for a long time, is that I've been sensing for a long time the crowd has been wanting to change him, and they've been hesitant on it. And it kind of pissed me off. But here it is. He's going to be over as a babyface. He's going to do a great job.
Yeah.
Like I say, I just want a storyline or a reason for him to morph. I am really worried, though, because he came out there and he goes, I'll fight this guy. You want somebody to fight this guy, Teddy? I'll fight this guy.
Teddy, I'll fight this
guy. And then he goes, that reminds me of a story. And then he tells his little story about
that. Did not get over it.
That did not get over, because he said in this little story, whatever the punchline was, the story was
he's a big turd. Or
yeah,
something.
No, a 440-pound sack of shit.
Yeah.
Or sack of crap, I guess they called him. And talking about Henry, and this was supposed to be his joke, and this is, again, that forced comedy.
And then he looked out to the crowd and smiled, and yeah, exactly, right? And
it's the forced pandering comedy that they need, they feel they need to be a baby face. That's a mistake. Don't do that. Don't try too hard with Sheamus.
Did I mention,
you don't need to.
Did I mention a couple of shows
he's
ago?
He's funny by himself.
I don't
remember when he fucking kicks, or when Christian was refereeing the match between him and Orton, number one contender, and he accidentally kicks him.
I didn't mean to, fella.
He's just so funny.
Did I mention a couple of shows ago that Brian Gewirtz is now able to fuck up SmackDown?
You did.
Oh, okay. Just thought I'd point that out.
You did.
But then yeah. So, but anyway. But then Henry. I mean, he goes to get him, and Sheamus grabs a chair and runs him off. And Mark Henry grabs.
Again, I don't ever think the babyface needing a chair to even up a thing makes him look good.
Yeah. How long?
No,
yeah, but
like
yeah, whatever. I mean, Hogan did that to Andre for how long? Yeah, Hogan did that all the fucking
Hogan
time.
Hogan didn't need the help. Sheamus does.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying is that it didn't seem out of place to me.
Okay, I didn't like that, preferably
not, but then you've got this monster, world's most dangerous man, or world's strongest man.
Yeah,
you know, shouldn't be running away from. So there's no real.
But
he's still a tough son of a bitch. Like, he's the world's strongest man, and probably, and legitimately so.
And he's legitimately considered by many people the second strongest ever.
But he's taken out Kane and Big Show, he shouldn't be running, and neither should Sheamus. So if you're going to compromise, and it's okay for him to run from a chair with Sheamus, then it is just from Sheamus, and Sheamus should be running either. So that really, if you're going to book those together and not touch and have that,
no, I think you could have had, I think you could have had him fly out of the ring like that, and instead of having the chair, just say, come on back in, and the heel looks like he's going to, and then back off, because the heel, even though he could probably destroy him, wants to do it on his terms because he's a bad guy.
That's not Henry, though.
It is Henry. That is what he did against Big Show.
Henry's a destroyer.
He did that against Big Show a month ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so, and not
but
like
him
that,
picking up those steps, though, and just flinging them like they were fucking this pin, and I just threw it across.
I know, I know.
Oh, my God. And just...
he is, like I say, legitimately, there was a...
He's very lucky the way they bounced, too.
There was, oh, yeah. There's a fellow from Quebec, Canada.
A fella?
Yeah, like in the early 1900s. He's considered the strongest man to ever live. And Mark Henry's considered by... I can't remember the fellow's name. But no, a straight, I think.
He was French, though, you said.
Good point. And he worked in and he was a carny strongman. So he's considered the strongest man to ever live by most people. And Mark Henry is really considered. Many people think he is the second strongest man
ever. His name is Jean Ferret?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right. Well, another thing that happened on the SmackDown, Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
Another.
It's just setting up a, looks like a SummerSlam match or feud.
Which I love.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
As I said, SummerSlam shaping up to me very nicely.
Not a huge reaction, though, for Bryan again.
No, you know what, he's kind of like, Zack Ryder, in that music doesn't get a reaction. The Flight of the Valkyrie doesn't get the reaction.
Brian Kendrick has the same problem over in TNA in his music.
Exactly. Well, no, he's in TNA.
That's a problem,
that's why he's not over.
Yeah.
But the thing is that... Well, as soon as the Impact Zone fans will think of something clever to chant for him, he'll be over.
That'll do it.
The thing is with Daniel Bryan, that Flight of the Valkyrie doesn't get over, but then when he comes down, he gets the reaction.
Well,
he gets the reaction leaving.
When he gets the reaction now and he puts on that LaBelle lock.
Yes.
People buy that that's a dangerous move and that he's a pure submission wrestler and that he's dangerous because of it. People buy that about him.
Yes.
That's good. So and you have the mic skills. His mic skills weren't great in this situation. Wade Barrett's mic skills were tremendous.
Oh yeah.
Wade would have cut a tremendous promo about how I've lost focus. The focus is to make money and this and that. And
can you compare me to Heath Slater? Really?
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff.
Yeah.
He was really good. So I think there's no reason. There's history. There's backstory.
See, and I really like Daniel Bryan's. People going about Daniel Bryan's mic work. I think it's been fine. I haven't had a problem with his mic work at all.
Here's the thing. I wish he would bring back. And I've said here's the thing, this episode 75,000 times. It's become my quite frankly. But here's the thing.
Fuck him?
I
little motherfucking
bring
native?
Back, you tap or you snap.
No, what is his new thing, though? They've altered that. They are using that, but they're not saying snap.
No?
No, it's
that was better. You tap or you snap.
Yeah, but I don't know if they necessarily want to get that way yet. But no, or they might want to brand it themselves too, and might not be able to. Well, no, and that, of course that makes perfect sense. If they don't have if they can't get sued or they don't have the rights to be able to produce that tap or snap, and they do all these T-shirts and they find out they got, if they can brand something similar to themselves that they can do all that and make all that money, I'm totally fine with all that.
If he's doing something else that I've missed, then it you can't
is
recall it.
Him and it's with Booker T. And it's not like tap or give up, or it's not like it's not tap or pass. So it's similar to tap or snap. It's not as good, but it's along the same lines. And I'll remember
well,
it and go there anyway.
He needs a catchphrase like that, though.
Now, speaking of Booker T.
Yes.
Commentating call of the night. I don't know if you caught this, but I had to mention this as soon as I heard this. The first thing I did is I didn't even write it down. I just said, "I will never forget this." Mm-hmm. During the women's match. The Divas match.
Yeah.
And Alicia Fox wins with an axe kick.
Yes, that's right. She did.
And a Harlem Heat axe kick, Michael Cole called it. And he says, Booker T axe kick, and Booker T goes, that's, or a Harlem Heat axe kick, and Booker T went, a Booker T axe kick. And Michael Cole goes, you wish you had legs that good.
Yeah, and he goes, yes, I do.
And he goes, yes, I do. And they're like, I think Josh Matthews is like, wait a minute, what?
On that, and he's like, well, on that note.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just
funny.
Thought that
yeah,
was
that.
Hilarious.
I got that. Hey,
like,
dog,
yes, I do.
Your dog's coming to say hello here.
Yeah, yeah.
The Palatial Golden Crusted Studios of Home Addie.
That's right, there he is.
That's right, there he
Wilbur
is.
Snyder.
Wilbur Snyder.
Creator of the abdominal stretch.
That's right, that's right. So hear those ears?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
That's not me backing off, folks. That's him flipping his ears around.
Flight of the Valkyrie.
About the same sound, though.
Yeah, about that. About that, yeah.
Yeah. Popping.
Poppity, poppity.
Okay,
well.
So let's talk about that. We have to talk about the Orton and Christian.
Yes.
The
no holds barred the match, the movie.
Yes, yes. Finally, they're going to have an ODQ match.
Well, finally, they're going to have a match.
Wait. Yeah, yes.
Finally, they're
going to
have
waiting.
A match.
They've been building it for months and months. Seriously.
What do you think?
I can't.
Happen?
I know it'll be good. I kind of get everything set up for Orton to win, so I don't think he will.
Don't you? I think he will.
You? Well, and it's the same thing as you talk. He's so protected, right? You talk about Cena.
Well, but the thing is, as you said, I mean, everything is kind of set up. They don't. It's the opposite. It's not that Orton is so protected, it's that Christian's the opposite.
Yeah.
Christian is still, we got no one, let's begrudgingly go with Christian.
Well, you know what, actually, Michael Cole surprisingly had a good call at the end of his match with John Morrison when he hit the kill switch.
Really?
Yeah, he did. What he said was, Christian isn't going to beat you, physically dominate you, but he's so crafty. Mm-hmm. He'll always find a way to beat you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I thought that suits the character.
Is
that
he a cerebral
him.
Assassin?
No.
Oh.
No.
Assassin?
No, he's never buried anybody.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Not like Daniel Bryan.
No.
His WrestleMania opponent.
Yeah. Christian, I don't know. I just don't want to see it.
Mm.
I can't see anything they can do to make me want to see it.
Well, and that to me is
I think about where we were 4 months ago.
If this is a no holds barred, like a falls count anywhere deal.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know if it's falls count.
No,
anywhere.
I know.
That'd
be
a different stipulation,
but,
like a street fight.
Yeah.
Or an EDQ.
But to me, it's like, well, it's the opposite of the last one. And
yeah.
What they're not keying in on, and because they just announced it, so maybe they will, is that this is the opposite to their match that they had at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Right? Their Money in the Bank was that Orton will lose the title if he's disqualified.
And that no matter
now
what,
now there
Christian's
is
gonna,
no disqualification.
Christian's gonna get hurt. Christian knows he's going to get hurt by this crazy psychopath, and he's not looking forward to the pain.
Yes, that's right. Now,
Christian's facials were tremendous when Truth was going through all those tables.
Now...
You know?
I'm just throwing this out there because I just thought of this, and I don't necessarily think it's a good idea or not, but here
it's
we go.
Yours.
No, here we go. We talked about last show quite at length, but a role for, if Christian is going to win by hook or crook, because
mm-hmm.
he'll always find a way to win,
mm-hmm.
and Christian can't beat the crazed, deranged Randy Orton.
Huh?
Did he get a bodyguard?
Oh, or just, how about Henry?
Well, there is Henry. There is Henry. But, I mean, with Henry, that would peel off to a match.
You know what? Where is, what's his name?
Tomko?
Tomko, yeah. Where's Tomko?
Tomko is somewhere on the other side of the shit list of Vince McMahon. Because he had the nerve to get hurt and not tell anybody and try to work hurt and be out of shape when he came in. Remember?
What a dude.
I know. I'm assuming he's in Japan.
Yeah.
I am assuming he's in Japan. Speaking of Japan, Bernard could be a great bodyguard. But
Bernard could, but unfortunately he's with Carl Anderson, the IWGP GHC Tag Team Unified Champions.
LMNOP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyways, okay, let's move on to Impact Wrestling.
Fuck. Really?
Yeah, we got to. Because
no, we
I
don't.
Watched it. I watched it.
I know.
You did.
I did not, actually. I had some.
You had a better week
shit,
than me.
I had some shit I had to do on Thursday. I had to clip my toenails. I had to suck a guy's dick. I had a lot of better things to do than watch Impact.
Yeah, yeah. Wash your hair. You did, right?
Take care.
Yeah. Anyways, did you say you sucked a guy's dick? Oh, it would be better. This was painful. This hurt my brain watching this show.
I did see a couple of clips. Let's put it
The highlight of the show was two things.
The bird.
Well, that was not the highlight.
It's the word.
He gave me the bird. I'd like to give them the bird. The highlight of the shows were two things. The second best thing on the show was the cage match between Ken Anderson and Kurt Angle. It was pretty good.
Well, a lumberjack cage match, I understand.
Yeah, but even the lumberjacks work hard. The guys work hard despite the shit.
The lumberjacks worked hard.
They did,
and
they're bald.
Okay.
It was,
so the lumberjacks worked hard in their cage match.
It was intense, is what I'm saying. The guys are trying their best with the shit.
What was on a pole?
Nothing. That's on Superstars, actually.
Oh, right. That's what I was doing.
That's on Superstars. It's Tatsu versus Tyson Kidd. With,
oh, no, that was NXT.
Oh, was that NXT?
NXT. Action figure leg on a pole, yes.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
Yeah. Shit. Anyways.
Whatever. At least that's funny.
I suppose.
At least that's not, like, a main event. At least it's not a pay-per-view.
No, that's true. That's true. You're not expecting me to... You're not expecting me to pay. Hell, you're not expecting me to watch. It's NXT.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, that was the second best thing on the show. The best thing on the show was Eric Young meeting David Hasselhoff's agent. It was kind of funny.
Yes.
Him sitting there going, you know, you need to take acting lessons. It was, okay, I'll take acting lessons.
I'll see you tomorrow. It's going to take longer than 24 hours. 48 then. You got it.
Yeah.
And then when he's got the belt,
yeah,
and he's taking I had to take that jewel out there to make a car payment.
Yeah. That was awesome.
I'm like, oh, do you have food stamps too?
That was awesome. Well, we'll get there.
Well,
maybe not
talking
there.
About
probably,
the food stamps.
Be,
I mean,
kind of our schedule that we're going to be going forward with for the recording of our show for the next foreseeable future is wait till Sunday till we've seen all the shows, talk about them, recap them all in one show. And the second show of the week is the backup of little quick hit news bits that we're going to clean up. And
yeah, we'll get
that
together.
Quick hit news bits, we're going to talk about Generation Me leaving because they couldn't feed themselves working for TNA.
Well, there is that.
That'll be one of the things. We'll get to it then, though.
But did you happen on Impact, because I saw a couple of the clips, and we'll get to your thing. Did you happen to see the new Dixie Carter music video?
No, she's got a new
music. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, it starts off and it's like look in my eyes, what do you see? A cunt of personality. Tremendous.
Dixie Carter, I'm not saying it. You will.
What?
She's the
cunt of personality. That's what her music is now.
That's the moment. We talk wrestling, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Send all your complaints to, no, Addie. Just we talk wrestling.
Call a spade a spade. But anyway, let's get to Sting.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about Sting.
This character, you know, it's funny because they obviously enjoy writing it, and he's having a great time performing it. But it doesn't matter because it's not biased and it's not over to the audience. It's a grating character, this Joker character. And it's really stupid to see the guy come out there. There's Immortal, and he comes out there, and the worst acting I've ever seen. He comes out there, and he's like, I'm their network representative. And nobody like questions it or finds. They just believe it and put him in charge. There's like eight of them sitting there looking at him, and he's just like sitting down going, my suit's Versace, and being all happy and being all Joker and saying icon. And they're all sitting there threatening him, and nobody fucking hits him.
No, I know. And
there's eight of them and one of him.
But he's the network guy. You can't hit
him. Before he announced that, they could have hit him.
The thing is...
It's horrible.
Well, you know what it is.
It's so bad. And there's Hogan going, what are you going to say? Watch it. And there's like all this improv from these people who can't act. And it's
Well, maybe they need to go with Eric Young.
Oh,
they can come
God.
Back tomorrow.
Yeah, all of them need acting lessons far worse than Eric Young.
The thing is...
This was horrible.
The thing with it is that what happened with Sting...
Fuck you, Russo.
Is that Sting, that the Joker character in small doses was not doing...
Which is not what you get. He's on TV.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is in small doses, it wasn't... not working. I don't know that it was working, but it wasn't detracting. It was, you know, as I said, I thought it was decent. It was fine. It was okay. But so then they took that decent, fine, okay that was working in small doses and decided to feature, as you said, every second of the fucking program. And it's overkill and it's stupid and now it's very much a scripted situation, that just dominating the show where it shouldn't. And
yeah.
I only saw the clip at the end where, which was fucked up in that it looked like we were inside of a box.
Yeah.
It looked like one of Cody Rhodes' paper bags was over us.
And I wish one had been over, but I wouldn't have been watching.
And we were with the hole. And we were looking at Bischoff being on the phone with the network.
Yeah.
And that's when he finds out that Sting's not the network guy.
I'm not the network. Yeah.
Well, that was part of the joke, though. That was supposed to be the funny ha-ha, that he's coming out to pour his heart out after knowing, because I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be Sting in that box spying on Eric. That we were Sting for a brief minute, and that, you know, because that Kevin Sullivan's a genius in terms of production. But I don't know what the fuck was supposed to. And then all of a sudden, there they were. And then he takes his bird cage out. It opens up this bird, and there's a, I don't know what it is, a magpie, I guess.
Magpie or something. There's like one of them. There's like, there was a movie Alfred Hitchcock did The Birds. I actually watched it the first time actually a week ago, coincidentally.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
But
was it better than Impact?
Fuck yeah.
You know? I watched a movie called The Burbs.
Also better than
Impact, yes.
I watched some guy taking a shit.
Yeah, that was Impact, actually.
That was Impact, yeah. Yeah,
it was a Russo.
Really terrible. Like, and again, the worst acting. I didn't even talk about the worst acting in Firing Kenders. When he sits there and he talks, his spouts his little dialogue that's not supposed to make any sense.
I tell you,
sense.
I felt uncomfortable when you were staring at me. By the way.
Well, you know what? I didn't think you saw me there.
Mm. Yeah,
I drilled the hole.
You were actually with Sting.
Yeah.
Inside of the hole.
That's right.
Yeah.
But Brian Kendrick's acting. His gimmick is supposed to be that he talks nonsensical and he's a bit crazy. He's out there and he's this flower child type, you know, Zen
Maharishi
character.
Type deal.
But you know what? He is kind of like that in real life, is my understanding. So let him access that part of his personality.
Maybe he is.
Instead, no, they're scripting it for him, and that's where you can tell, and that's where it doesn't get over. It's where it comes across really, really forced and odd. So you had this scene where you had these eight guys in this room, and they were trying to get across this segment that nobody was attacking Sting for no reason, and everybody was acting improvising because there was too many people to script. And then you have this scene where you have him, and that was horrible. And then you have this scene where they actually script something for a guy who can't act, and that's horrible. And in the end, there's some horrible stuff.
You know what I think they should actually bring back, and this in either company would work, actually.
To the back?
Well, not so much maybe now that Gewirtz isn't booking Raw, but so maybe on site. But if you brought Eugene back as a heel, I think they could script for him no problem.
Didn't he fill your propane tank earlier?
I think he did. But it was, they could write for him though.
Yeah.
Like that's what they need, because if you're going to write for a character, I mean, you need a character that's a retarded douchebag.
Because that's what
because
you are.
Because that's what they are.
Yeah.
And so then they can. Then they'll be able to write for it. But, what was the outcome of this impact? Like, what did they do?
Okay, well, I mean, basically, one of the things, opening segment, Hulk Hogan comes out. I hate, by the way, how Hulk Hogan and Immortal have NWO rock-off music.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know what? Fucking come up with your own stuff. Jesus Christ. It's obviously not it, but it's trying so hard to be.
You can call
really
me Addy.
Me off. No, thanks.
No, I prefer Jesus Christ, but I'm just saying.
I won't call you that either.
No.
But douchebag will do.
Can't,
yeah. Anyways, Hogan comes out, and Angle says to him, you know what, I'm not going to take out Sting for you, and I know you can still go.
Oh, I heard about this.
And Hogan's sitting there talking about how he transformed the wrestling into an international phenomenon by himself.
Right, right. From out of the smoke-filled arenas?
Yes, he did.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. And he did mention Andre the Giant, in case you're thinking who's going to go on episode.
How much did he weigh?
He didn't say, but he did mention him.
Oh, good, brother.
Because you wouldn't want to go an episode without mentioning he was in the ring with him.
No, that's...
Because it's 2011.
Yes.
And he did say he's been in the industry for 30 years, and he had 8 back surgeries, and you know what, I can't wrestle anymore, but I'll still beat you up if you keep running your mouth, Kurt Angle, and Kurt Angle, the only reason I'm not kicking your ass is because I respect you. And it...
30 years?
That's what he said.
No.
More.
This is his fifth decade.
Yep.
That he's been in wrestling. I mean, not full decade, but he was a 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, now 2010.
Yeah,
so 11,
exactly.
Right?
You said 30 years, but it's more. It's more. But basically, I mean,
not even in the running to be the Hulk. That is not even in the running, by the way, to be the Hulk Hogan Bullshit of the Week.
No, it's not.
No.
Wait till you see some of the ones I didn't use. I mean, it's amazing. This guy's unbelievable.
Well, we will use them.
We will use them. We'll get to them all. But, I mean, he's sitting there, and he's talking.
Let's not get crazy.
Angle
we may not get them to them all. We only do two shows a week.
That's true. That's true.
For eternity.
Yes.
Even after
true.
Hogan dies.
Yeah.
We'll be doing the show. We still
will
get to them all. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Yeah. He's sitting there.
I should not really start because you're talking about Impact.
Angle
and
says.
And it's you, so.
Angle says.
And. Oh.
Angle says, you know what I think? I know you can still go, Hogan. He can't!
No,
he can't still go! He hasn't been able to go for a decade!
Well, no. And,
fuck
and,
off!
No, it's not even that, though, when you talk about he can't still go. Physically now, he really can't still go.
No, he
I mean,
can't.
When you say he can't still go for a decade, I mean, he had been physically able to get himself into the ring and do some things.
His
you
match,
know,
he could barely Hogan, go against Shawn Michaels. That was the last time he
That's right, that's right. But Hogan is not Shawn Michaels by any stretch.
Well,
and never been anyone that's been able to, you know, he's not been known for his work rate ever.
No.
But he's been able to do the
not
Hogan.
Like Kevin Nash in WWE.
Exactly. But he's been able to do the Hogan match.
Yeah.
You know, just less bumping.
But he can't even
and less bumping.
Now.
No, he cannot physically do anything
literally. So don't
literally.
Say those things. I mean,
it's well,
it's
also
ridiculous.
Kurt Angle.
It is Kurt
and
talking about bullshit
Russo,
of the
right?
week.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, it was 600 pounds of bullshit and just standing beside his eyes. Kurt Angle, by the way.
So half of
looking,
Andre.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Kurt Angle, by the way, is sitting there in the ring looking smaller than ever. He really does look like he's trying out for the Olympics. He's looking smaller but in great shape. Old, but small and great shape. There's nothing funny about his character. No ha-ha, no trying. He's a very serious, straightforward, I'm here to be the best in the world.
And he's all out of bubble gum.
And you know, I like the character. This is kind of the Kurt Angle that I think Kurt Angle's wanted to portray for a long time.
Right.
So.
Well, good.
I will say that's a positive. Gunnar and RVD had a match.
Oh, good.
And believe it or not, anytime
Gunnar's involved.
Gunnar versus RVD, and I didn't see this coming, but it turned out it was sloppy.
What?
Yeah, no, like your mom.
Huh.
No, but probably
sloppy
actually better
Joe,
match than it had to be.
Sloppy Joe, yeah.
Kendrick and Rob had a match. Probably better than the pay-per-view match.
Sloppy Rob,
still not great.
Kick you in the head.
They're pushing Tracy Brooks as the Sonny of the Knockout.
Yes, the original Knockout, Tracy Brooks.
The original
Brooks.
Knockout, Tracy Brooks. She's what Sonny is, the original diva, really. That doesn't work. That's no bias. Fuck her, though. I would. I'd fuck her.
Is it Kaz? That's Kaz's wife, right?
It's Kaz's wife.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't fuck him.
Huh? No.
You would. You'd suck his dick, apparently.
Well, during Impact.
That's how you got those free tickets.
The free tickets to the Impact Zone. Man, he told me they were expensive.
You mean they're not?
What?
I hate to tell you that, they're always free.
Shit.
All right, but basically that's all I want to say about Impact. Impact
is more than I wanted to say.
Yeah, it's the Ed Wood version of the WWE.
Quite frankly.
It's B or C level performances. And
without George Steele.
Yes, the only thing that's good, in the production, around the arena and that type of thing, near the entrances and that type of thing, they really stepped that up.
By the way, if you're looking for a great...
Oh, that's the other thing. They pump in, here's something that pissed me off, and they do this.
Oh, here's something that pissed you off.
SmackDown, but here's something, this drove me crazy. SmackDown sweetens the sound. It's a post-produced show,
yeah.
It sweetens the sound.
That's right, yeah.
But there's not a constant hum of underneath of... You know, Thunder used to have that.
Yes.
This constant hum of people cheering. And then it would get louder and downer. But they never stopped. SmackDown doesn't have this because it's not organic. This really comes across terribly. So when you have Hogan sitting there cutting this heel/babyface promo and a constant cheering across it all, it actually takes away from the moment. Their post-production is horrible in doing this.
And it
can't stand it.
No, I just... No, that's true. I mean, that's their production in general. And you say post production. I mean, just the production in general is fucking awful.
Kevin Sullivan and all of them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, you know who I blame? It's that woman. What was her new ring entrance music? It was good.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? A cunt of personality.
I guarantee you the next time that CM Punk's music comes on, everybody who's listening to this show will hear that word instead of cult.
Yes.
You'll be like, is that what he's really saying? Guarantee it's
true.
Awesome.
Dixie Carter's music, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But anyway, that's more than enough about Impact. Let's go from Impact to the fact that the Slammiversary coming in at about 8,000 buys, disappointing the next month. In that, I'm sorry, Slammiversary 8,500 buys.
No, Slammiversary was 8,000.
No, Slammiversary was 8,500. Destination X went down to 8,000.
I thought it was the other way
no,
around.
No, Destination
matter.
X went down to 8,000, which was very surprising.
That's more than nine.
To me, it's more than nine, but it just, I thought that they would do above average.
But keep in mind, they didn't push the pay-per-view, and they didn't have any stars on there. They didn't push the pay-per-view on television at all. I did think they would do above average, and actually they did. And I'll tell you why. I went on and looked up after these stats. I went up and looked on tube sites and torrent sites. And those
oh, you
sites
mean the amount of people that watch it for free?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's significantly higher than Slammiversary. Significantly higher. There
oh,
was more
sure.
interest in this. But these people,
oh, yeah. okay.
there was more interest in the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, no, definitely.
More people
definitely.
Saw the show. But not more people bought the show.
Yes, okay.
Which really speaks to, I mean, I researched, I think I went on a total of about 15 sites.
Okay.
And across the border it was up. So, I mean, you know.
Across the border?
Across the border, yes. Across the border.
Okay.
Or
Mexico?
No.
Oh.
No. It's Canada. We have good beer.
Yes. Eh?
Eh. Anyways, so there was more people watching the show, but, I mean, I hope none of those people ever complain about Impact or the quality or the X Division.
That makes Austin Aries' promo just that much better.
It actually does. You know, in hindsight, people watching the free stream. Because
I hope you choke on whatever unhealthy snack you're eating or whatever
eating,
you said.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Tremendous.
But you know what? There was more interest in the show, but people still weren't willing to buy it. They're not willing to break those habits. They don't trust TNA. They don't feel they owe TNA anything. But these same people, if they are fans of the X Division and they want the X Division to succeed, they let the X Division down, quite frankly.
Well, that's just it. I was just about to say is, you know, okay, there's more interest, there's more free streaming of it. Well, guess what? I mean, you did that research, and maybe there's someone in their office that will be able to, that would track that, but nobody gives a fuck. Nobody gives a fuck, though. I mean, the thing is that even, let's just say Jeremy Borash went on and did all that.
Yeah.
And took that. To whoever, right? To the Carter family. And they're not going to care.
No.
They're going to go, oh, huh. Well, it didn't put any more money in our pocket, so it sucks to be them.
On the other hand, you could look at it and go, this costs significantly less to produce these guys, and then we did this without any real TV exposure, and it still matches what our second or third biggest show of the year, Slammiversary.
Slammiversary was less profitable than Destination X.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, it was.
It was, yeah, absolutely.
Because there was a significantly less in terms of the payroll.
Yep.
Right? So
even with Immortal running out in that angle.
Yeah,
and
but
that's
that,
the other thing about
that would give them.
X, even if they're saying they're putting on a Destination X All X pay-per-view, there's still the feeling that they're going to fuck those guys. I was talking about it throughout the whole night on Twitter with people. You know how they're going to...
Like Kaz?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But the thing
so
is...
Kaz said he was going to go to see a concert is nothing like seeing great music live, and then he said that he was going to see Poison and Motley Crue.
No.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell he was talking about then.
No. I've seen Motley Crue live.
I've seen them both in 1991.
Yes. Yes. Motley Crue came with Aerosmith, and I was there to see
there
Aerosmith.
There
you go. Contrasting this it is 8,000 buys for Destination X. Best in the World. ROH. The pay-per-view,
yes.
With no television.
Yes, we were reviewed.
Breaks a record with 2,100 buys.
Yeah.
Previous record, 1,900. So they've cracked
25%. No national television. Never had national television.
And 25% not of Destination X, but 25% of Slammiversary.
Yeah, yeah.
They're what, second or third biggest show of the year? You know,
you go them,
Lockdown, and Slammiversary.
Royal Rumble's actually the second biggest, but they push
SummerSlam. Same idea, right?
Yeah.
So a quarter of that, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
But I do wonder if that is, there's some people out, well, number one, people want to support ROH if they've seen it. There's a feeling like we owe these guys something. They bust their ass for us.
Yeah.
There's not the hey, they fucked us too many times feeling like TNA or WWE has.
Well, to a lesser degree, because wrestling is less cool than it was, they're in the ECW position, right?
Yeah.
They're the little engine that could.
They're the little engine. But there's also the idea that these people used to be on TV, and now they're not. Leaving that alone. They used to be on TV, now they're not. There's people who may have wanted to see the product also. I mean, actually not. To some of the people who watch them on HDNet might actually have been willing to pay for this where they wouldn't have before, but then they would have had to search it out. You know what? No, I don't know. I guess that doesn't make it.
No, I was going to say, this was your hardcores here, right?
I mean, this was.
And they had probably about the same number of people watching it live.
Yeah. And you know what?
That paid.
And that's the other thing is...
So I wonder, did that make more money than Slammiversary?
Probably did.
You know?
Because it made money and Slammiversary lost money. Because those pay-per-views, as a general rule, lose money for them.
I'm just thinking, right?
Their revenue stream, their pay-per-views are a loss leader. So...
No, they're a loss.
They're a loss. You're right. Loss leader.
They ain't leading to anything.
You're right.
But, I mean, if you look, and we say that they get $15 a pay-per-view, let's say, for TNA, right?
Yeah.
Then, and you had 8,000 of them, that's, mm-hmm. you know, what is that?
Yep.
You know, that's 80,000, that's $120,000.
Mm-hmm.
$120,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't cover the production cost alone, I don't believe.
No. I mean, it may come close, but, I mean, it's like... That's it.
Well, the advertising.
That's it.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Like, and if you look at the iPay-per-view, I mean, it costs $15, doesn't it? So if they got half, and so they get seven, that's $14,000 that they got there. And then you're looking at, what am I saying here? We got $14,000 plus another $700. So, yeah, that's $14,000. But that's, again... Without all that expenditure.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you're,
cost them, if it costs $5,000-$6,000 to put on, they made on, you know, they probably made $6,000-$7,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is okay for them.
Which is, and one, we then we didn't factor in at let's say $15 a hit to get in.
Yeah.
Right? So they get $10 of that, let's say.
Yeah, and another thing about that is people will continue to order that product from them. iPay-per-views are always available to purchase.
There's the replay, I guess, as it were.
Yeah.
But I think
DVD sales,
when they're
lot,
talking 2,100, though, I think that's including the replays. That's coming back.
But still.
I mean, there still could be, coming out. Like, I mean, if you go and you look and see how many hits a YouTube video has today,
a
month from now, it could have more, right? So
Sinclair Network.
Sinclair in here now.
It's not as much exposure as they need still. Let's put it that's true. It's good for them to be on, but it's not as much exposure as they need still. They're not in enough market.
Yeah, but if they could do 2,100 without TV,
that's what I was going to say. How quickly do you think they could overtake? Is that's kind of a good question for me. How ready is the wrestling fan, the hardcore fan? How quickly could they overtake
next May?
It seems that way.
Yeah.
It seems possible.
I mean, if anything's linear, next May, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and the one thing that will happen, I mean, we say that, but I mean, you don't know so much that if WWE gets hot,
mm-hmm.
wrestling gets hot.
Absolutely.
So, how many buys did the Heroes of Wrestling get? I don't even know.
I think it was 10 or 12.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
So, as much as Bound for Glory... You know,
or half a Bound for Glory.
But that was for, you know, just this Heroes independent one-shot deal pay-per-view. Because wrestling was hot.
There was some Australian pay-per-view that did like 8,000 bucks.
Yeah, with Andrew McManus was the promoter there. Yeah, I mean, so, That's one thing that the WWA, I believe it was called. But it was in between. It was before TNA.
What Evolve and Dragon Gate do for these people.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be willing to bet it's 1,000 or 1,200. You know? Maybe actually that might be a little much. Probably
500 to 800, I would say.
Probably 500 to 800, but still, you know what? Consider.
Oh, fuck. I mean, why not, right? I mean, that's just, all that is them paying a little bit of money to pipe it in on a feed for people. You know, it's
essentially their house show production.
It's giant screen closed circuit TV is what it is for the new millennium, right? And so it's that idea that why not, right? I mean, you might as well do it, and it's going to give you a little bit more, potentially a little bit more money. And I'm sure there's a threshold there, but I'm sure the threshold is so small that you're going to make money doing it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme, but you're going to make some money doing it, right?
Exactly. Okay, let's move on to the next subject here.
Okay.
A couple more that we want to
We were talking about pay-per-view buy rates here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank.
We didn't even talk about WWE.
That's true, actually.
So when I wrote some things down here, just when I was doing a little bit of the research here, is that we talked and we had talked and actually I think we correctly predicted 65,000 domestic, which is Canada and the United States, buys for Extreme Rules, which the pay-per-view on May the 1st. So 65,000 domestic buys. It's come over now the over the limit. Pay-per-view, the next pay-per-view, 3 weeks later, just 3 weeks later, so May 22nd, that, it didn't double, but it went from 65,000 buys to 113,000 domestic buys for the Extreme Rules. So, of course, they're one-night stand, basically. They're all, they're hardcore justice, if you will. They're all, you know, hardcore whatever pay-per-view. And then so 113, now then you move over to the Capital Combat, which was the R-Truth pay-per-view, which was about a month later. We went 3 weeks in between pay-per-views there. It slipped down to about 100,000 domestic buys. Went from 113,000 domestic for Over the Limit to 100,000 approximately for Capital Combat, which was 200,000 buys overall.
It's actually better than I expected.
Well, it's because the reason that some of the buys are down, it's not the reason that the buys are down so much, is that the split is more 50-50, 60-40 for North America now, is because a lot of these shows are free in the UK. They're getting them for free, and they're just having to pay the big four, really. I think it's six. I think it's half are free and half they pay for. Anyone in the UK, if you want to email Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com, I'm afraid you muffle my voice when I'm giving the email address. Please, if you're from the UK and you're listening, just email me, let me know, and then I'll be happy.
Now, they no longer do the pay-per-views for Great Britain only that they used to do for the United Kingdom. Remember, they used to have,
What was it called? Rebellion
and
all that. Yeah. There was one night only, remember, it was the first
one. Yeah, one point. Yeah, they're not doing that anymore still,
no.
Are they?
No, they're not. So 100,000 buys for the Capital Combat. Money in the Bank looks to have doubled that. So roughly 200,000 buys.
So
domestically,
how much extra profit do you think would that be then? Would that be
we're talking about
$100,000?
Yeah,
$1.5 million.
Yeah.
So
CM Punk
gave them $1.5 extra million.
Yeah.
I hope he gets a nice bonus out of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he won't. But
no.
I mean,
he'll
get a better pay-per-view, bonus than normally. But I mean, I don't know that he'll get, a bigger than he normally would. I mean,
good though. I mean, $1.5 million extra in the coffers because of one guy's mic skills is significant.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it it's one of those things that...
That said, right now, I mean, we still have a couple weeks to go, and we'll see what the build is tomorrow.
Well,
I don't see SummerSlam being up from last year, though, at this point. Like, I don't have a lot of excitement for it.
I don't know. I don't know. These things, though, tend to go in trends, right?
Yeah.
And people tend to be behind the times with these things, too, right? I mean,
except for Canada. Canada is actually usually ahead of the curve on what trends on pay-per-view.
Well, that's true. That's true. But, I mean, it's something that, and we don't have any specific country numbers, right? Just the domestic, international.
Yeah.
I mean, when we look at things like that, though, I think SummerSlam will at least be up from last year. How much up, I don't know.
You have to keep in mind, last year they had the Nexus angle that hadn't been killed yet, and Bret Hart.
Well, that's where it was killed.
That's where it was killed. But, yeah, but I mean, there was some momentum for the company going into SummerSlam.
Well, and there's momentum right now, too, though.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm just saying it wasn't, it's not like they didn't have something. They had
the
something,
thing was,
they didn't capture it to its maximum potential.
Well, I think, and I agree with you, but just to play a little bit of devil's advocate and to expound upon the momentum point, is that last year, SummerSlam was the Money in the Bank. In that Money in the Bank started at the end of June with that Punk promo.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the July 4 show, you had the contract signing, and then you had Money in the Bank. So you had a good 4 weeks of Money in the Bank momentum built. That was great. Really what happened with Nexus, you had Nexus there, right? And Nexus did their thing and stuff, so there was a little more to play off on. But really, the, we're going to have this 5-on-5 match and yada, 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 and the way that it built, and we're going to have the fifth or the fourth man, or is Bret Hart, and yada, things like that. You know, that was...
Who will be the mystery fifth man?
You talk about who's going to be the mystery fifth man, and then you did a Bill Watts-style brawl at the end, and they chase the Nexus away and stuff like that. That was, that month of August, really, was the build to the SummerSlam that you had the momentum for. And you got that with Money in the Bank, and now we're coming off Money in the Bank, and you've done Vince is fired, now Punk is again back, Jim Ross is back, Hunter's the thing, we've got two champions, we're going to build towards that. There still is that momentum that can continue. Now, as we both said, that momentum can stop on a dime at any point now because, you know, they have proven in the past that they can be that stupid.
Yes.
And so I'm not saying that it's going to, come the 14th of August that we're still going to feel this way. And as I said, you don't really have any excitement for the show in particular. I still don't know too much of the show. And as I said, and in naming the matches, it looks like a good, solid card to me right now. But it doesn't look like a boom.
You're going to look at if the selling point is Cena versus Punk, it will not mean as much to me as the month before. It just won't. The intrigue won't be as high.
You're saying if, there is no if.
No.
So, true. I mean, let's take if out of it.
It's okay. If anything, it lessens the month before, not something I want to see a second time here. And I've said, again, for the billionth time, I don't believe you want to, month after month, put the same match on pay-per-view in 2011.
Well,
I think that's the way it's
done. I just don't see the point. Like, that's the part that I don't get. It's like, what is there to gain right now? Like, well, I mean, and we talked about, I mean, and I listened to some Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer shows, and, I mean, their interview with Big Dave Batista,
mm-hmm.
and talking about how, they wanted to, Batista turns on Hunter, and they wanted to have that match immediately.
Yeah.
Right, they're going, okay, so you're going to have the match to blow this off next month. And Hunter, of all people, of course, because it was his deal, and is going, well, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that ended up being one of their biggest pay-per-view buys for Mania.
Right.
And subsequent pay-per-views as well. They faced three pay-per-views
in a row.
Well,
they have
just enough.
It was the biggest domestic, their Hell in the Cell, that mm-hmm. Vengeance. Biggest domestic B show.
Yeah.
So I think 207,000. It was in the Observer so that's the thing, but they don't have that off switch, and that's I don't understand why you want to do it so fucking quick.
Because you're always worried about what you want to put that up on TV because it's something you have, because that way you don't have to worry about what to fill with it. Because you're always worried about what you're going to film next, because it never ends. There's no off-season. There's no 23 episodes like How I Met Your Mother or Criminal Minds or something like that. There's no off-season. Like it's constant. Every week.
That doesn't fly to me, though, because what are you going to do then?
No, I'm not saying. I agree with you.
No. I'm just saying. But
that's their mentality.
I know, but the counter-argument to me on that mentality is that, you're going to put this on, But then you're going to hot shot through, and then you got to figure out someone else to put it through. So you're either figuring
but
out... you're
they're
figuring
never
out,
taking that far down.
No, I know, but you're figuring out one of two things. You're either figuring out how to keep this going, or you're figuring out who the fuck is next.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so you, either way, you got to figure something out.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I mean, it's just... I mean, to me, that's it. It just oozes with retardation, and I don't know... why they need to rush this so much. But as I said, SummerSlam looks like a good, solid card to me, but it doesn't have that oomph factor yet.
It really doesn't.
Punk's going to talk tomorrow.
Yeah,
that could change everything. Because
yeah, well, I'm sure it'll be a great promo, but it's just, it's going to be hard when a guy says to me, I'm leaving, and then he's back. Even if it's CM Punk, it's going to be hard for me to buy whatever he says next. I quite,
what if,
the same level.
What if he's back with?
With what? With
people.
With
Colt.
Colt, Kings of Wrestling.
Kings, yeah. What if that?
That'll help.
That'll help?
Okay. That'll help. Though, I mean, I really just don't see why the Kings of Wrestling would be there considering they're a tag team.
They're coming, though.
Yeah, it appears that way.
They're
going to be bypassing
developmental,
which is good. Now, just before he shows up, though, won't Claudio Castagnoli be fired for not having a green card?
That's
he can't
true.
Work in
he,
country.
He doesn't have a green card? Oh,
no.
Shit. Well, let's call Johnny Ass. Let him know. Let's let him know. But I mean,
but that is why he was fired from the company before. Folks,
that
is,
that
what
is, that is. That's,
even
but
though
I mean,
he never had to leave the country.
No,
you wonder what an idiot.
No, and I mean, we've been talking about that, and it is. I'm, you know, I don't know.
That would help though. I mean, if he shows up with those guys, yeah. I mean, that's a little bit. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm not saying they can't sell me on it. I'm just saying my initial reaction of going, okay, so Punk and Cena again, yeah. You know, not the same level as it was. Not I'm actually going to shit on, but not like I feel like shitting on Orton versus Christian. And even then, I know their chemistry is great and the match will be excellent. But yeah, I mean.
But the angle is played out.
I would think Miz versus Reyes, where you go again in a rematch because they both need something.
I guess so. What do you do with Del Rio?
You have him sit in the back looking like he's going to cash in.
Is that what you do in Los Angeles?
Do. Yeah.
See, I just.
You haven't cut a promo and you haven't seemed like he's going to cash in.
I guess, eh? Well, I mean, Miz last year, we talked about this. Again, I said,
what did
Miz do last year? And Miz was, yeah, he cut the promos about being the fifth man, above, but he never was. And so, yeah, you're, I mean, I guess you very well could do that. You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know, like I said, I'm done. You're right, I don't have that excitement level.
Or you
level.
Could have beat an Alex Riley. And then cut the promo. Doesn't matter.
No, I don't like that. I don't think you don't. To me, I can't give up on Alex. I mean, what's the point then? I don't give up on Alex Riley yet, right? I mean, and by beating him, that's their old WWF way of just, you know, there goes Alex Riley again. He'll be on Superstars.
Yeah, you know what? He's well. I mean, like I said, I don't really see much in him. But hey, okay.
No, but if you're going to invest in him, if you've invested this much time, then just. And you want the fans to take the next guy that you're going to actually be serious with seriously, you can't keep doing this fucking bullshit and go with Alex Riley that way, because the next time you do it, people are just going to go, oh, that's the next Alex Riley.
Yep.
That's the next R-Truth.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
well,
but they're already doing that.
Well, they're starting to, and as I said,
well,
I mean,
they've been doing that for a long time. They've been doing that with
oh,
a lot
they,
of people,
they have.
This has been
but
a pattern for so long.
You have to change the perception at some point in order to change it.
Yeah, I know.
So,
I know.
I'm just saying, start now.
I guess I would just like to start up with something I see more potential in.
Yeah, but the
I
next guy you've got potential in is going to then face less of an uphill battle because they did it with Alex Riley. You know what I mean? Like you start somewhere, whether you like it or not. The guy you actually will like then will get over better because they've stopped doing it that much sooner, right?
Yeah, no, I
know
what you're
saying.
That's
the point I'm going on. I know you're not.
I know you have a good point. I don't disagree with the point.
Of course.
Okay, let's talk about...
I'm Addy.
Let's talk about the potential GMs here, because they didn't kill this storyline.
They
have.
They very well could, but the podium was set up.
Podium was set up. It was still there. They did not kill it. I imagine that means I think they're going to do something with it. So I want to break down who's everybody who potentially could be and what's the strengths and weaknesses. So who's everybody you could think of? I'll write them down.
Bill Goldberg.
Seriously.
Oh. Mick Foley.
Mick Foley, okay. Who else?
Jimmy Hart.
Jimmy Hart? Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, I got no problem with that.
Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash. Okay. Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, yeah, baby. Bullet Woods, if you will. Because Rouse the mothership.
Stephanie.
Step on me, yes.
Okay. Vince.
Okay, well, we might as well throw Vince in there. Sure, why not?
Vince, yeah. Who else?
Brett.
Brett, okay.
Can I throw a wild card in there?
Yeah, you bet.
J.J. Dillon.
J.J. Dillon, okay.
That man, Foley was probably the first guy I mentioned.
He was, yeah.
What if,
Michael Hayes?
Okay. What if every time there was conflict, the general manager just came out and went, damn.
Okay.
We're not putting him in.
I'll throw JBL, though.
Yeah, okay, let's put JBL in there. I think that's a very much a long
shot. I think so, too, but we're just throwing names out there.
Hmm.
Who else?
Michael Cole.
Michael Cole.
I mean, we get away from the obvious there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What about the coach?
The coach? That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay.
Lillian Garcia. No. The Fink would make an awesome GM, though.
All right, the Fink. I'm going to throw it out there.
The following contest.
All right. Anybody else who's being in a position of power? That Heyman is might do something with the company with his book coming out.
No, it won't be Heyman.
Okay.
No, there's not. There's no... Same way as I could be JBL, right? You just can't commit to... I guess it just depends. And again, the way they do it and the way I do it, again, two different things.
Because
we talk about the Crash TV and the hot-shotting and the expedient, and for some fucked-up reason, they have this idea that the general manager has to be on every fucking show.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And if you look at it like we talked about, we talked about Jim Ross being like Jack Tunney. Right, we've talked about it before. Now, everything was a lot slower then. But you saw Jack Tunney, what, three times every 2 years?
Yeah.
Really, right? I mean, that's what you saw. But you also only saw...
That's about right.
Yeah. But you also only saw 4 pay-per-views then. And that was, I mean, even before that, you saw Tunney even less. And maybe not. You saw Tunney probably... Once a month, you probably saw Tunney way back. You know, we had to make it just, but for 30 seconds, sitting in his desk going, I hereby rule that Ravishing Rick Rude has been indefinitely suspended until he apologizes to the big boss man's mother. Right? I mean, like, that was what it was, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, fuck. And then there were 4 pay-per-views. But, I mean, before that, you saw maybe 10 times, there was one fucking pay-per-view, for God's sakes, and then 2, then 3, and then 4. So, everything's faster now, is what I'm saying. I would take a guy, like, if you were to look at a Paul Heyman, or a JBL, probably trust a JBL a little more than Paul Heyman, I'm just saying. To have on 5 times a year.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to do that, but to me, I don't see why you do that. And you have Teddy Long every week on SmackDown. You know, you got to kind of maybe be the president of the WWF.
Well, does Teddy Long have to be on every single week going forward, though?
Well, fuck no. But I'm just saying that if you're going to do it that way, you got to do it for both.
Okay.
Or, as I said, you just appoint the commissioner of World Wrestling Entertainment, or the president of World Wrestling Entertainment.
Which is what Hunter already is.
Can we throw, speaking of former commissioners, you want to have someone with experience, or I'll throw 2 names out there, actually,
okay.
out you, the, to you. Roddy Piper's one.
Roddy Piper, I like that.
Woo!
Ric Flair?
Didn't say it had to play out this week.
No, that's
true. You could wait a month until Flair's fired.
That's true. But you have to take on Sting or Angle first for the
title.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's throw it out there. Let's put out the names. Okay, Mick Foley. What's the positive? What's the negative?
The positive is that he's one of the greatest promos of all time.
Mm-hmm.
The negative is that he has a tendency to want to be too involved for what I would like a commissioner to be.
Okay.
And by saying that, and I don't know that he still feels this way, it's just that Foley's always the guy that I'm going to use my name to get the next guy over, and that means I have to have a match.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't have a fucking match anymore, Mick Foley.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. Any more than Hulk Hogan. Okay, Jimmy Hart.
Well, maybe a little more than Hulk Hogan, but not at all. Right?
Positives and negatives, Jimmy Hart.
Well, the positives is Jimmy Hart's a great promo.
Yeah.
And underrated. And is a Hall, is he a Hall of Famer? No, he's not.
He's not, no. But he will be.
He definitely will be, actually. That should be coming this year, then.
Yeah,
if
maybe,
they're
going
to throw a manager in, I'm like,
sure.
He's got to go in before Slick.
Sure.
And then Slick, right? So,
sure.
But, shit. Because Fuji's in.
Yeah.
And, of course, Heenan's in.
Yeah.
And
Cornette's not going in.
Not
so,
yet.
Anyways. So the positive and negative. That positive is a great promo.
Positive, great promo. Underrated promo. Has history with the company. As I said, I mean, people would... And you know, just people know who he is. And he's... his other positive is that... I mean, this is a positive, is that he's a pipsqueak.
Yeah.
Right? So he's going to make the superstars look bigger.
Yep.
Right? He's not this... You know, it's not... That if we want
to... Speaking of which, did you notice that Sheamus looked so big next to Henry?
Yeah.
So tall and everything?
I know.
I'm like, that was impressive. Anyways, yeah. But that's another positive. So what's a negative about Hart, though?
Just lack of interest.
He hasn't been on TV for a long time.
He's not going to be...
quite a bit older.
Well, when
now.
You compare him to everybody else on the list, okay,
yeah.
When you compare him to even to Kevin Nash, to Roddy Piper, to Ric Flair, to Mick Foley, to JR, he's the lesser-known guy. So the
yeah.
way this has been... The reason it won't be him, and even JBL, you know, the reason it won't be him is because this has to, the way, how long this has been fucking going on, the reveal's got to be big.
Yeah.
And Hart's not the big name.
No, I agree.
Hart could replace Teddy Long
yeah.
on the SmackDown side and be that would be comparable.
Okay. Kevin Nash.
Well, I'll go with the negative first.
Okay.
The negative is the opposite of Jimmy Hart. Jimmy Hart was a pipsqueak, made superstars look big.
Yeah.
Nash the other way around,
yeah,
right? I
yeah.
mean, he's going to tell. He's going to go on. Punk is going to talk to him, right? Punk's going to have to stand on the Andre the Giant box, probably two of them, right?
Yeah.
So that's the negative there. That's why where you don't go with that. The other the positive is, I mean, he's just. Charming guy. I mean, really, I mean, he's a great promo. He's got a great personality.
Yes.
And, I mean, we talk about him as a commentator. Same idea. Is it
yeah.
Him coming out and just talking, that's how he made millions of dollars on Nitro, for fuck's sake.
Absolutely.
Just coming out and talking. So
absolutely.
He can definitely do that.
Dusty Rhodes.
Plus, he has former experience with being the coach of the Natural Born Thrillers.
There you go.
What? Is Mike Sanders on my list, by the way?
No, he is not.
Oh,
he won't
no.
be. Well, Dusty Rhodes.
Because Paul Heyman's on there, and he's intimidated by Mike Sanders.
That's true. Oh, Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, baby. Dusty Rhodes, I mean, his positive, of course, is that, again, we talk about these promo men, these stick men, he's Dusty fucking Rhodes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
My opinion, greatest promo I ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
I consider Dusty the best promo I ever seen.
You can't beat our prices, but you sure can beat our meat. Americana Butcher Shop.
Yeah,
he's
awesome.
Oh, fuck. And yeah, and I just that was the whole reason I watched WCW Saturday Night in like 1996. She's trying to get to the pay window, Tony Schiavone, right here, mothership WCW Saturday Night with the big boys play if you will.
Yes,
it did, John Popke. But Dusty Rhodes, the negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know. What is the negative? Maybe for Vince and Dunn, too Southern? Is that the negative?
The look, yeah, maybe they could say that. Okay, let's throw out another
Actually,
name.
I will give you the negative. Is yeah, when you're talking about the look, the scars.
The scars.
You know, like, it's just it, right? So.
How about Goldust, now that he's essentially retired and working as an agent?
You know, I thought about naming him, but again...
what do you think about the fact that we might have seen his last match?
That actually is too bad, because... He was really, I don't want to say he was getting over it because he wasn't, but he was having a great match. Again, the veterans.
Yeah.
You know, the Chavo's gone, the Dusty's gone, or the Dustin, rather, is gone. You know, Finley wasn't having so many matches, but is gone. We'll talk about Finley on Thursday, probably, I guess, with some of the independent notes we want to get to. But, I mean, those guys are gone, Val Venus, you know. So that is too bad. You know, did he need to go out with in a blaze of glory or anything? No. But you know, he's...
Yeah,
good character,
too bad,
right? Good
character. He was in shape. He was motivated.
He's a guy, though, that will show up at the WrestleManias, you know, when they do the whole, you know, Snoop Dogg type thing.
Do you think he could be the commissioner?
No.
If he could he be the commissioner as Dustin instead of Goldust? No?
No, no. Okay. Who is Dustin Rhodes?
How about JR? I mean, I know he's back now, but...
Yeah, well, you know where I do that and where I like that is that is when you play with Michael Cole.
Yeah.
Right, Michael Cole, the golden boy of the general manager, and then it's revealed that JR is actually the general manager, and he's like, "What?"
That'd be awesome.
You know,
that's
a moment, right? What?
Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, that's all that is a moment.
Yeah.
And but again, JR, none of these guys. Well, I shouldn't say none of these guys. JR, because he's going to be on commentary every week. I'd rather see that than JR pulled back and see him, say, quarterly, or even see him every week as an authority figure. I just, you know, if they're going to... Where JR worked was when they weren't willing to put him on commentary. At least he's around and it's a good use for him.
Yeah.
His best use, of course, is a commentator. Now they're going to do that. So.
Hey, what about Lawler in that role? Is that possible at all, or does that not make sense?
Well, again, same... well, you know, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay. How does the general manager then? I mean, then you've got too many unanswered questions. Why did the general manager say that Lawler couldn't touch Cole, or he'll get fired?
Okay. How about this? How about throw this name out there, Finley? Because you mentioned him. He's been gone for a while, looking to come back. May come back. How about him in that role?
No, a bigger letdown than Jimmy Hart, right?
Finley?
I mean,
bigger letdown.
Bigger letdown than Jimmy Hart.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean,
X-Pac.
So. Well, you got the you do have, I don't want to call him the pipsqueak, but you do have the smaller factor, right? Same thing going as Jimmy Hart.
Yeah.
So that's a positive. I mean, he can talk. That's a positive. I don't know.
He's friends with Hunter.
Well, and that's for him a positive.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I don't know if you've seen any of his like Raw reviews or anything.
I haven't watched any. No.
Whether he is now or not, and I think X-Pac, I mean, I've enjoyed X-Pac's analysis of Ryan. I think he's got a great mind.
He does.
For
he
the
really
business,
does.
You know?
Kinda, I'd like to see him have a role again because he does.
Yeah, but I think a role
as
an...
Well,
you see, if he's clean, yeah, but see, when you talk about him as an on-air general manager, he looks like a stoner.
Yeah.
And
can he clean up?
Not his look.
No?
No, because he just, as I said, he looks like a stoner. He looks like, the Rodolonia?
The Rodolonia.
Yeah, that look. And unfortunately, he's got that look. So I don't know that you put that as your authority figure on television.
Okay. Flair, positives and negatives?
Well, positives. He's Rick fucking Flair.
Yeah.
The negatives is that everybody that loses matches on the Raws that he's on have to pool their resources together and pay his bar tab.
Actual legit reasons.
Oh.
No,
so
that is legit.
I was going to say, that's legit. That is too legit to quit.
Okay, I think the thing is technically still under TNA.
Well, I mean, that's a hypothetical that he's not,
exactly.
I guess. But, I mean, the negatives is, again, to me that...
He might overshadow the rest of the show.
Yeah, there is that. But if you use him in the Jack Tunney role, again, it's okay that he overshadows. I mean, when Jack Tunney had a major announcement, Jack Tunney overshadowed the show.
And he had no charisma at
all. And he had fucking nothing.
Yeah,
but you knew what he... You knew what he had to say was important.
Yeah.
Because he's not on. This is going to be an announcement. He's got a rule on this. The title is vacant. What the fuck, right? So with Flair, it's okay that five times a year or six times a year, he overshadows shit. Because it's like when Vince used to do. When you
I agree.
Nowadays, when you hear No Chance, oh, shit, something's going to happen, right? Usually. Or that's the thought. Nothing usually does. But you that would be the thought. With Flair, to me, the negative is, again, the same as Foley, is that he's going to want to wrestle.
How about The Rock? Any chance?
No.
No, it doesn't make sense? It doesn't.
I mean, no, the general manager chimed in at Mania.
Yeah.
And Rock was in the ring.
Yeah, I know. J.J. Dillon.
James Julius Caesar Dillon. Again, a promo.
Yeah.
Experience in the role as head of the WCW Executive Committee.
Mm-hmm. Manager of Ric Flair, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, manager of the Four Horsemen. I mean, manager of Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
Who we didn't put on the list, but is in the same, you know, a little bit, definitely above on promo, but, you know, not a big enough name to be. And that's, again, the downfall of J.J. Dillon, is he's not a big enough name. And that's why I call him sort of a wild card there. But he is a guy that would fit that Jack Tunney sit-behind-a-desk role very nicely, the Stanley Blackburn, if you will, role. K. Allen Fry, that type deal, right?
Edge. Any chance? Make any sense at all?
Well, not if you remember him smashing the computer.
No. I agree. I'm just wondering if there's any way they could turn that around, because people forget things.
Not enough people. But, I mean, you forget things, but it happened. So, no. I remember it.
Bret Hart.
Yeah, see, Bret Hart, again, perfect role for him to come out when shit's important.
Mm-hmm. Now, you will remember, we talk about people forgetting things, that Bret Hart was in the ring, I think this is when he won the Intercontinental belt, and he was told...
U.S. title against the Miz.
Yeah. He was told the general manager dimed, chimed in or whatever and said, I hate Bret Hart, was the quote, and then did some stiff. I can't remember exactly what it was. Do you recall?
You're right.
But does it matter? Because people have forgotten it so much later. And is it different than Edge because it was a one-time thing so much longer ago?
No, I'd forgotten that. But now that you brought it up, I mean, I'm a big, you know, like Gorilla Monsoon says, you know, that
continuity
is so important. And it just, so now that you bring that up, even though I had personally forgot about, now that I know that, then I disqualify Brett.
How about Sonny?
Well, she said she hated Bret Hart. Sunny days.
Set you up for that one.
Sunny days.
No, seriously, Sonny, what do you think?
I know. That's what I'm saying, though. I said she, well, maybe because she was banging Shawn Michaels. But, we know she can do it going back to Tammy Lynn Sitch.
Yeah.
It's Smoky Mountain. That's how it came about, right? I mean, that was the beginnings of her character was the Hillary Clinton wannabe, basically, right?
Yes.
That was the inspiration, I guess, for that character. But that's possible. That's possible. I mean, if you're going to use a chick, you're going to use Steph.
Okay.
Assuming she wants to be on television.
Yeah. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
It's possible. There had to have been. He's been on Raw enough, though, that general manager must have chimed in and done some bullshit with him, though, too, right?
Okay.
And the fact is that, I mean, if you remember way back when they were trying to do the misdirection bullshit, you know, that's the bottom line because the general manager said so. Like, 1 week later, they said, if you smell what the general manager is cooking. The next week, they said, just when you think you have all the answers, the general manager changes the questions.
Yes.
You know. No, that's not to disqualify it, but I'm just saying there had to have been some...
Michael Cole
tends to make a lot of sense.
I do think at some point after WrestleMania, the general manager made him get in the ring and do something embarrassing.
No, wasn't that just a Raw roulette where there was the dance off?
Maybe
between him
and
Vicky.
I remember seeing them doing something, but I might be wrong.
It's possible, and I mean, I think at one point I think it was all signs were pointing to Cole. Those signs have kind of pointed away now.
But do you like it? Positives, negatives?
I just want. I think at this point now the way to make it different, as I said. is the every once in a while guy.
Yeah.
And I keep harping on that, but the every once in a while guy is a babyface.
All right, the Fink then.
I think the Fink's great.
Yeah.
Again, sit by his desk every once in a while. He is. I mean, I don't know if you know this. I don't know if he's told anybody, but he was the first ever employee of World Wrestling Federation.
He tells me that every time I talk to him, actually.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. No, the Fink would be great in that role. I have no problem with him there.
Well, let's get him on the show if you talk to him more.
No, we will.
Good.
We will. Steph?
Yeah, Steph, if she wants to be on TV,
Could it create an interesting storyline between her and Hunter?
Well, Hunter has to appoint her. No, Vince would have appointed him.
Yeah.
So it could. It could. If, and again, you know, if we're going to All About the Family, and again, soap opera writers,
yeah.
If it's All About the Family with these soap opera writers, then I could guarantee you they would put Steph there just to be able to do that.
All
so
right.
that may be actually, given that, the most likely possibility, if they're going to continue with it at this point.
Okay, the coach?
Mm. It seemed like at some point they were looking at the coach. Like, it seemed like it was going to be the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Around Mania time.
Now, he's still got his gig that he has.
ESPN, yeah.
The announcing booth at ESPN, yeah.
Yeah, which is a way better gig for him.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know if that's going to preclude him from coming back every once in a while.
Okay. JBL?
Again, wears a suit, good in his role, but, I mean, a heel.
Yeah, but you know what? The GM has been a heel. The GM has been a heel 90% of the time in what he's done.
Yes.
So JBL's
I agree.
Perfect.
No, that makes him imperfect.
Based on what?
Based on the
Rusev
fact
logic?
That... No, based on the fact that the general manager has always been a fucking heel. Oh, you mean like the general manager, this computer, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I get you. Well... Yeah, okay. Well, then, that makes sense. If we're talking about the reveal, see, I'm just thinking about who we have. Yeah, who'd be best,
Hayes,
I guess.
Doc but, Hendrix.
Yeah, that would work,
well, too. I think he could inform us that Raw's on Monday night.
Yeah, well, that would be, he would chime in still, even after he's been revealed. He would still chime in through the computer. Yeah, like 9 o'clock, to be like, it is 9 o'clock.
Anyway, strengths and weaknesses of Michael Pierce.
Well, again, the promo and the fact that can go heel and face quite at this point quite easily.
Hey, Vince.
Vince is Vince. I mean, so that's. I mean, you can figure out a storyline way that he's the general manager,
yeah.
Right? And that he's got some sort of contract as the general manager. That even though they couldn't fire Michael Cole because of his severance package and blah blah blah, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, you could do the same thing with Vince McMahon naming himself as the general manager. So Hunter doesn't like it, but he's got to work with him.
Okay. So that's the positive. Negative? What?
The negative is that Vince McMahon is back.
Yeah, and he's been
right?
on TV already too much.
Yeah.
He's been there.
Well, no, that he's back, though. I mean, that this was the angle, again, to get him off television forever,
yeah.
And he's back.
Hot Rod.
We're going to get in contact with the Hot Rod and have him on, actually.
He wants to come on.
We'll do it on. He's free on Thursday, so we'll do it on Thursday. And yeah.
He's free every day.
Is he?
Not Mondays, maybe.
Maybe not Mondays.
Hot Rod.
Great promo, great character, you know, good with the company, has a great goodwill with the fans, people know who he is, he's a legend, you know, everything, so.
He's right up there. I can say a negative. He looks like he's in better shape right now. His health looks good. His last fight with cancer he went off.
Mm-hmm.
He is maybe at times too wacky, and he certainly is not so good at the scripted promos. He's a shoot-from-the-hip kind of guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's a negative.
That is to them.
Well, to them, but I also think that...
Us, no.
I have a feeling, but the reason it's a negative is that sometimes he has a tendency to kind of get off point.
Yeah.
And as a general manager, you're out there to get across one sort of specific point and move on. And
okay.
he may not be able to hit that. I do remember when he was the interim president... Between when Vader squashed Gorilla at the Rumble to Mania there,
yeah.
There were a couple Raws where he was to set up something, and it did take him quite a while to do
that. I remember that. Okay, so let's get finally to it then. the last two things. Let's say the winner, and you think who is most likely? Steph?
Oh, the winner of the general manager deal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and the winner and who you would pick then?
I would pick...
If you have anybody in this list.
Steph is the wiener. I'm just trying to think of who I would...
Well, people that you seem to be high on were Foley.
Crack. Oh. Foley, yeah. Oh, well.
Dusty Rhodes.
Rick
Flair. Sonny, you saw the positives in her.
Why did we not talk about William Regal?
Oh, yeah. Excellent
now,
choice.
The thing is...
He's there, done that, but
well, that, and that's where I'm kind of away from Foley, and I'm getting away from been there, done that with Regal. I mean, it just... But... I think Regal is tremendous, so I do want to name him.
Yeah, no, I agree.
What if the next time the general manager chimes in, he ends his message with woo woo woo?
No, thank you.
Oh, okay. what if it was his dad? Do we put Zack Ryder's dad and John Morrison to get a big push?
That I'd be into. Now, we're 2 hours and 5 minutes in.
Oh, shit.
Hulk Hogan bullshit, or do we want to talk about that last subject that I want to talk about, the ratings, regarding the ratings?
Let's talk about the ratings. You know, in for a penny, in for a pound, guys. Thanks for sticking with us for 2 hours. We're just going to do a little bit more here, talk about the ratings, and then do the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week, and we promise we will then wrap it up.
Yeah, O-U-T after that. So, but we will have a few plugs. They will wrap it up.
Well, your mom's around.
Yeah, that's right. Is she?
She is. She's very round.
I'd like breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she's had it.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
let's talk about the ratings. This last week came in at a 3.2.
Let us talk about the ratings.
Last week came in at a 3.2, and generally everyone's going, you know what, this Punk thing didn't take off to the level we thought it did. This
take off,
Vince
eh?
McMahon, you know, his firing, and Hunter didn't take off to the level. They were hoping for a 3.4, 3.5. I said to you, I thought they were going to do a 3.4, 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of gone back and looked at this, and they did do a 3.4, 3.5, in my opinion. And what I mean from that is this. I watched SmackDown, Raw, and Impact this week. I turned on my TV this entire week for 1 hour. That hour I spent playing Halo. I did not watch a single hour of TV this week. I didn't watch a single hour of TV this week.
Oh, so you're talking about alternate forms.
There are so many. That's it. I watched on YouTube. There are YouTube. There is downloads of shows. There's so many. And
where do you watch it on YouTube, though, right? I know where you're going with that, but I just want to play a little bit of a devil's advocate on that. Is part of the reason that they look at the ratings, okay, and part of it is to judge whether something's good, bad, successful, and different when they look at the minute by minutes and all that such. But from an overall number, now we talk about that they did do it. It was 3.0 and 3.4 with the 2 hours, so they grew to get a 3.2. But the fact to me is that that's what USA Network is paying WWE for, right? And so that when I look at from you think I work at a bank, but the fact is that if they get a 2.5 and the other 1.0 worth of people is watching it on YouTube, then WWE is going to get paid for a 2.5.
Okay, well,
right?
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but what I am saying...
I understand your point, though.
Yeah, is that there was a recent poll showing that teenagers between the ages of 14 and 17...
Showed your mom my poll.
I had your mom on my poll last night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Teenagers between the ages of 14 and 17 in the early 90s were watching an average of 30 hours of television a week. They're now watching an average of 10 hours of television a week and spending about 20 hours of television or 20 hours a week on the computer. That's on Facebook, but it's also on things like YouTube and torrents watching. They're watching essentially the same amount of content. They're just watching it in different methods. And this has even happened to me. A year ago, I was watching about 5 to 8 hours of TV a week. Now I'm watching less than one. And this is, 6 months ago my change. Like, the change has been very dramatic, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So quickly that I don't think the companies have realized how quickly it's changed. So even if you're saying they're getting they're getting stuck, and they're going to get paid for a 2.5, but that's what they're doing. The fact is that it has changed. Medium has changed. The way the distribution of the content has changed. And whether you accept it or you don't accept it, that's the future,
well,
and that's the fact.
I'm not looking to accept it or not accept it. I'm looking to quantify it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so it's very difficult right now to be able to, I mean, you went on 15 different sites and saw that people had really downloaded Destination X off
YouTube
the torrents
and
shit, right?
Yeah,
but,
and tube sites as well.
But for Destination X, you went to 15 different sites. Well, how many sites are out there? Probably thousands, 100,000,
yeah.
Who knows, right?
Yeah.
And so to be able for WWE to quantify who's watching their program and when they're watching. And you even talk about the DVRs now. I don't watch anything
mm-hmm.
live, really,
yeah,
anymore. Everything's
yeah.
DVR.
Yeah,
I mean,
that way you can watch Raw in an hour.
Well, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
And you know, here's the women's match.
My partner in our new show that should be dropping Tuesday here, We Talk Comics, my partner Brett was watching the CFL game. He was watching it. He said, he's like, I'm like, what are you doing right now when we start the show? He's like, I'm just fast-forwarding through the game. I'm like, well, what's the score? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, why didn't you watch it live? Because I don't watch anything live anymore.
Yeah.
I don't watch anything live anymore with his work. I like to fast-forward through everything.
He's your partner.
My co-host.
Oh, your co-host. Okay.
This is the man who offered to suck dick during Impact.
Yeah, well,
speaking of which,
that doesn't make me gay, that makes me smart.
That's true. Speaking of which, I'll be over
look
Thursday.
Look in my eyes, what do you see?
Speaking of which, I'll be over Thursday.
A cunt of personality. But Thursday,
anyway,
right?
No,
yeah.
It doesn't matter, though. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, we do the show on Sunday, so I should be able to find it by then.
It doesn't matter, though. I mean, my point is it doesn't matter what they're thinking or how they're trying to judge it or what they're doing. The end of the day, the change has already occurred, and the change has occurred over... I'd say that a 3.2 today was a 3.4 2 years ago.
Well,
3.6,
oh, no, no.
Hey,
though. Let's just calm down with that, because you're talking about... Let's not look at a 3.2. Let's
okay.
wipe that slate clean, okay? Let's talk about number of viewers.
Okay.
Because that's what I'd be interested in. That, then you can compare apples to apples. Because when you say 3.2 today equals a what because of the computer, well, how many more fucking channels are out there? And that's 3.2% of the population happens to be watching that channel at any particular time. And if there's a million more channels out there to watch, that's going to play into the percentage as well. So you can take the TV, but that's not the only factor is all I'm saying. So if you talk about millions of viewers, if you say 5 million viewers are watching Raw,
yeah.
Then okay, that's fine. Because 5 million viewers watching Raw could be a 2.9, could be a 3.3, depending on how many people are actually watching television at that given time, right?
Sure,
so
that's true.
All I really care about is how many people are watching. And as you said, I agree with you that there's all these sites for after the fact. It's just my problem with, I guess, with that is being able to quantify that, which is where I guess the thing you can't really quantify.
But that's my point, is you can't.
And, okay, my bigger problem, I guess, I have with that is that if you're willing to go on to a torrent site and watch Raw, you're probably willing to go on the torrent site and download the pay-per-view as well.
Possibly, yeah.
Well, I would say that'd be pretty likely.
Yeah.
That would be pretty likely,
absolutely.
Okay? And...
But I'm
Vince McMahon. I'm Vince McMahon, though. I don't want that customer.
Yeah, I don't think. I think you have to look at the tube sites more than the torrent sites when it comes to Raw.
That's fine.
Then, but you have to look at that. And I'm not advocating the torrent sites for the stealing of pay per views.
Only for TNA.
I'm not advocating avoiding that completely.
I am I'm advocating it for TNA. If you care enough about TNA, then download
enough.
It illegally.
If you care enough, I don't want you as a customer.
Download it illegally.
Yeah. But, no, that's the thing. But the point is, it doesn't matter. You say you don't want them as a customer. The point
mm-hmm.
is that if you're trying to see how popular the product is and you're just sitting
no,
there.
No, wait,
let me finish the sentence. If you're trying to say how popular the product is, and your other radio show hosts and other wrestling websites, and you're saying it's a disappointing, it's not getting over to the same level as it once was,
I hear you.
You're missing the point. It might be getting over to another level. You won't know because you can't judge it the same way you judged it 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It'll come through in other mediums. And until everyone starts to understand the change in technology and the distribution of entertainment and media, then you won't be able to understand how a product is doing.
I'm not saying that's good or bad.
I'm just saying that is.
It's a factor. Now, what I'm saying, though, when I say I don't want them as a customer, I don't want them as a customer.
I disagree with that as well, because you never know. If somebody feels like, I'm not going to pay, God damn it, they've been putting on good stuff for 3 or 4 months in a row, I'm going to start paying. I feel like I owe them. That happens as well. Maybe not, I don't know about that. And you can't fight it anyways. You can't.
I'm not trying to fight it. All I'm saying is that what did you think of the last pay-per-view? How did you watch it? I downloaded it. I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
I don't. If you're the guy that downloads only, I don't care what you think, because I'm never going to make a dime off of you.
Not necessarily.
And I
disagree with that. I believe people. It's the same idea with how people.
Yeah. Guess what? What's the percentage of that though? What are the percentage of people? I'm just saying that someone that is going to be finding this for free and is always like to find this for free and can do it and find it.
Some of them always will.
Exactly. Most of them.
Austin Aries is right.
Most of them.
Could show
exactly. Most of them. Most of them always will. So.
But I'm not talking about pay-per-views.
Well, no, I know you're not. I am, though. I'm saying that the person that is watching the Raw on the torrent...
That's a different subject.
It's not,
rating.
Though. It's not. That's what
it
I'm
is.
Saying is that it's correlating, because the person that's watching the show on the torrent site is also the guy that's going to go to that torrent site and download the show for free.
Here's the problem with that. Number one, torrents are big, but they're not as big as tube sites, and they won't be going forward. Okay? Tube sites means you don't have to download a goddamn thing.
Right.
Number two... People don't feel that going on YouTube and watching a product like Monday Night Raw is wrong. You don't find Money in the Bank on YouTube right now.
Probably not.
You won't.
You might.
There's a difference.
It'd be hard.
There's a difference in the way that the product is distributed.
Well, you're right.
Free television and the acceptance of companies and the
Well, I'm just
television.
Telling you, I'm not pandering to the people that are watching it for free and not putting any dime in my pocket. I'm leaving them those people.
Well, you
alone.
Know what? That's all those people. That's the 1.5 million who are watching Impact and the 8,000 who are paying. That you don't care about 99.99%. of your fucking audience.
Yeah. Well, I don't care about anybody that lives.
If you look
always...
at the 5 million people who are buying, but 200,000 bought this pay per view, then you don't care about 99.9% of your audience if you're WWE. That doesn't make sense.
What I'm saying though is that the people that I'm not saying the people that aren't buying the pay per view. I'm talking about the people that are buying that are always going to be getting the pay per view illegally
out there.
And not putting any money in
those
my pocket.
Those people have always existed. Those people existed in scrambled television and
other
ways.
I'm just telling you that I don't key in on those people.
I'm telling you that when people sit there, other sites, and sit there going, this angle isn't getting over to the same degree, they're not judging it in the modern era. That's my only point.
Well,
that whole other thing is another argument we could have for another day. This is my point, though.
Okay, well, but that...
In fact, we just had the argument now, so...
Well,
why fucking
I'm just talking about... We talked about capital punishment.
Yeah.
We talked about Extreme Rules.
Yes.
We talked about how Extreme Rules got 65,000 buys, and how it was really... The product was really shit, pretty much, at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And talking about how...
They dropped the ball coming
this
out of
was all, and we talked about ratings. We've had this talk. So where did this come from all of a sudden where now there's tube sites, where we've had this same argument about how the ratings have gone to pre-mania, ratings have gone down to pre-mania levels and blah. So we're
if you go back to the beginning of the argument, I said to you, I thought this show was going to do a 3-4, 3-5, and then the show didn't. And then I realized I'm sitting there watching SmackDown on my computer going, I think how I watch media... 1 year ago is different than it is today.
And I understand that. I agree with you.
And that change has occurred.
I don't know how much.
When we're judging these things, we have to start looking at it from a different perspective.
I'm just saying, I don't know how many people did what you did. That's, I guess, what I'm saying.
I think it's a lot more than I think.
More,
that's my point.
More.
Is especially in the younger, in the teenagers, the early people in their early 20s, the way that they're watching their...
The early people in their early 20s.
People in their early 20s, whatever, fuck you. Those people who are on tablets or on iPads, iPhones, smartphones...
How many tablets did you take?
You know what? I shouldn't have taken that second one.
No, I know.
But those people and the way that they're watching television is different than it once was. So I'm just saying, people need to stop sitting there and judging it, even the way they did 1 year ago, or the way they should 1 year from now. They have to be aware of the change in the mentality, especially among the younger people, and where they're getting their entertainment from. Doesn't mean they're not watching television. It means they're not watching television the conventional ways that we used to judge.
Well, and that, as I said, that could be very well true, but I'm saying if I'm a businessman, okay, mm-hmm. if I'm a businessman, until you can quantify that to me, I'm not skeptical. I understand what you're saying and I agree with you there, but until you can quantify that to me, I can't do anything with that.
Okay, I'll say this to you. The point is whether or not whether or not somebody can quantify that to you. The point is that is changing, and you need to be on the cutting edge and learning about it instead of ignoring it or not understanding
it.
Well, because it is inevitable.
But I'll tell you right now is what is inevitable. Let's look at it. I mean, the fact is that when you talk about being on the cutting edge of everything, and television, when did television come out?
They simply have to accept.
When was the?
You
know, it's fine. But when did the Dumont Network come out? The '40s, right?
Late forties.
Okay, so television's kind of been around, evolved, and there's HD, and there's color, and there's, you know, all this other shit now,
yeah.
And there's channels and cable and blah blah blah. 9 cable networks, for fuck's sake. I mean, there's all these things that have changed, but television is the medium. Okay. And when I look at how long has YouTube been around?
I've probably been going on about 5-6 years.
How do you illegally download music now?
For most people, there's so many different ways. It's direct downloads and torrents.
Mm-hmm, okay. But there was a time where Napster.
Yeah.
Was the cat's ass.
Okay.
And there was LimeWire, and there was all these other ones.
Now it's CrossWire.
And all that shit. Yeah. And they're all kind of passé now.
Yeah.
And that was only 10 years ago, not even 15 years ago,
and
right?
Napster was in its height about 2000, 2001.
Okay, yeah. So 10 years ago. And but all I'm saying is when you talk about the cusp of thing, those sorts of alternate internet media changes. And right now, television is still, at this point, the tried and true way of being
able
to...
For our generation, not for the generation below us. If you think it still is, you're mistaken.
No, it still is.
It is.
Well, fuck off.
It isn't.
You're an idiot.
It isn't.
Fuck you.
It isn't.
How many people, okay, how many people...
How many teenagers live in your household?
How many people watched Raw on Monday night?
3.2, I don't know what that
5
is.
5 million?
Yeah.
Okay, how many people downloaded it?
I watched it
on YouTube.
Oh, you don't, do you?
Oh, really? Okay, thank you. Case in point, done, closed case.
Let's go to the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the list. No, wait, no. How many of those people were people of our generation of that 5 million? And how many of those people were watching
the next generation? Look at the Nielsen.
Look at the Nielsen.
They'll tell you.
The Nielsen say that it's 18 to 30 or 18 to 45 still watching Raw.
Our
generation.
Yeah.
The next generation doesn't view entertainment in the same way. They're not. It's being distributed in a different way.
I'm just telling you that the majority of the
and
people...
And not like that, but
the majority
you're
going to
talk
of the
about
people
Napster,
are,
and you're going to talk about this and that. Keep in mind that when home video came about, the movie industry was in an uproar because they were certain this was going to put movie theaters out of business. It didn't. It was a boon for both the movies in the whole network and the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Both were able to flourish.
All I'm telling you is that you're right. The more people are watching it on the computer, and you're talking about people need to be on the cusp of something. And I'm telling you, until you're able to actually quantify it and put one specific thing out there, that nobody's going to get on board specifically with the computer being the next part to bring forth the new
and
media.
I'm telling
people
you,
have been talking about watching TV on their computer. More people are doing it, and it's going to go that way, but it's going to go that way. Somehow it's going to bring the computer and the television are going to come together, brother. And it's just, it's going to do that.
When the paradigm shift into public consciousness happens,
mm-hmm.
this will happen quickly. And it's occurring right now. That's what I'm saying to you.
I don't think it is. And I don't think
it is.
And I don't think it is.
Again, how many teenagers live in your household?
I don't harbor
how
any.
How can you? Yes, you don't harbor any.
Yes.
You don't have this conversation with them and this understanding of them and this change. You're not privy to seeing it.
Oh yeah, because how many conversations do you have with teenagers that you understand?
Good point. That I understand. There's never been one. But that's the thing is I'm not. You're saying you need to quantify it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying whether you quantify it or not, it's there. So you need to accept
yes.
it and learn.
No,
to quantify
but you
it.
Need to accept.
You need to learn.
No,
to
you
quantify
need
it
to. You need to accept. You need to accept what the reality of corporate world is.
And they'll always be behind the curve because
yes.
they're afraid of change.
That's right. And that's
like
all
you
I'm
say,
saying.
They were afraid of home video.
That's all I'm saying.
They were afraid it was going to. I'm not saying. I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't even know why we're fucking arguing because you're saying everything.
I think
correct.
It's fun.
You're saying everything.
Of
correct.
Of course I am.
But
speaking.
Here's
right?
the thing. Everything you're saying is correct, but it doesn't mean what I'm saying is incorrect either.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, fuck. Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week.
Thank you.
Then we're going
well,
down.
We just listened to the Martin Christensen bullshit of the week, so let's listen to the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week.
Lick me where I breathe.
We come over for impact.
All right.
Okay, it is now time. 2 hours and 25 minutes in for the Hulk Hogan bullshit. Of the week.
I love seeing how long you'll keep up with that. All right, the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week, folks. Addy kept on talking about the No Holds Barred. The match, the movie.
Brother.
Let's talk about No Holds Barred. Hulk Hogan said that he himself came up for the finish of that movie, his starring debut, No Holds Barred, the movie. He came up for the finish of that movie while he was sitting on his toilet.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that movie was a pile of shit.
It absolutely was.
Oh, my God. That's. Why would you even admit that?
I don't know.
Fucking Hulk Hogan.
He's amazing.
Oh, he is. Well, let's go. I already said earlier it was Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com. So please email me any thoughts you may have. Do you think the internet time is here? Please let me know. Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com, as I point to him that nobody can see. Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com is his email. WeTalkWrestling.com is where all of our blogs, all our shows. I just started putting up some more back issue archives.
Virtually all there, isn't it?
I hope so. I was having some problems with that earlier, but hopefully it's all there. So they're all there. At WeTalkWrestling is our Twitter. And iTunes, we're there. Just look for, just type in We Talk Wrestling, and we're right there. So.
And as I say, this is We Talk Wrestling. We have We Talk Podcast is expanding the idea. We'll have a We Talk Fantasy Football coming
like,
up right
like
soon.
Like most balls.
They dropped. They didn't expand. But We Talk Fantasy Football is coming up soon.
Congratulations.
Because the NFL is back. We're loving that. We Talk Wrestling dropping this Tuesday. You'll be able to find that on Podomatic.
No, We Talk Comics, actually.
What I said?
You said We Talk Wrestling.
Oh, fuck me.
No.
Anyways, we talk comics. On this issue, on this inaugural episode, me and Brett actually talk about the future of comic books and their distribution through e-comic books and digital comic books. We also talk about
Was there a paradigm shift there for that?
There was a paradigm shift in that as well. There is, and that's part of what we talk about.
Is Q involved?
No.
Oh.
There's also
that's
talk
a temporal
about the Marvel,
shift,
the Marvel film division and their success. The relaunch of DC Comics, and Action Comics, Detective Comics.
What about the relaunch of DC Cab?
I wish. Fucking Mr. T's on next episode again.
He will be back, yes.
He will be back.
People
and
have
also
asked.
We have interviews, not parody interviews, real interviews with two legendary creators, the legendary Neil Adams and Mike Mignola of Hellboy creator and fame. So please email me. Mo at We Talk Podcast, or Brett, that's with two T's, Brett at We Talk Podcast, and you can find more about that show there, or you can find us on Podomatic for We Talk Comics. I almost said wrestling again.
You did.
Anyways, OUT.
All right. Well, we got some plugs out and more shit there. So, in the meantime, and in between time, that is it, folks. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Get